listening to Fox Sports Radio.
A good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Sports Saturday.
Wow, the Raptors.
We are the fellas. Come you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Big bleeping link.
We are the North.
Guys, can you believe that they are one game away from beating the Warriors?
Well, I will tell you this. After watching this series, it's been extremely impressive.
Oh, yeah.
After, you know, I mean, you got to give it to them. Like,
yeah.
Everyone wants to talk about
the defense third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the defense. Absolutely. Normally, the Warriors turn it up another level in the third quarter, and they got shut down. And the Raptors took over. I mean, if the Raptors end up winning this thing, they still got their 91% or whatever the percentage is of B 3-1. End up winning this thing, they definitely deserve it. And you can't take anything away from this team, total team effort that the Raptors, even the bench has tripped in. You know, we made comments about Van Fleet and other people who seem to be absent during the playoff run, but on this championship run, they've taken the game to another level.
They have. They've all been there. They've all been terrific.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing run. And last night was it. I mean, think about it. So you kind of knew that they were going to run. They were going to have a lot of the energy coming out Golden State, you know, being down 2-1 at home, not having lost two in a row, you know, Clay is back.
Right.
They're going to be all over you. And, oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I can't believe how they just came out and just dominated, like, in that second half.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean that was impressive. Like, they withstood the early barrage.
The That's right. That's what I was thinking as well. The run that the Warriors made, especially in the first half, they withstood it. They stayed right there within punch power. And then, of course, Kawhi did his thing. And the rest of the team helped out. It was very, like I said, very impressive. You can't take anything away from the Raptors. Very impressive win last night on the road and, you know, in a hostile environment and everything, talking about the Warriors. Look. We talked about it. We talked about it all season. You know, Figgy and I just said when we talked about that starting five for the Warriors, no one's going to beat them. And look, they've got an all-star at every position. Yes, you can sit there and say what you want to say about injuries, but that's all part of the game. When it comes, you got to take your hat off to what the Raptors have done. Because as you mentioned, this has been a lot about defense. They've weathered the storm last night with Clay and Steph, and they still found a way to, you know, to beat the Warriors. And you can't take anything away from them.
No, actually, I mean, I as much as the Raptors beat the Sixers, and they were, you know, I got a little personal stake with the Sixers.
Yeah,
I love this Raptors team. I mean, I love the way they played and they've been playing. I mean, Kawhi, the cyborg, was ridiculous. He had his best night of the finals last night. Giving you 36 and 12, 5 threes. Pascal Siakam, man, has just had a wonderful series. Wonderful.
He's become that guy like Kevin Durant on the other side. No one can guard him for the other team.
It's amazing. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's funny. In the Sixers series, and remember, the Raptors are going to, you know, are this close to winning the NBA championship. And I want you to remember, and I want people to remember, that they beat the Sixers in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference semifinals on a miracle shot, Game 7, that somehow went in after four bounces.
Yep.
I mean, 20, 30 feet away from the basket.
Yeah.
High bounce, 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 bounce in at the buzzer. That's how they got here.
Then during that series, Pascal was no-show.
Well, and I was about to say that. There was a point, Pascal came out at 35 in game one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Embiid flexed, and Embiid, and then he took Pascal's soul, Embiid did.
Yeah.
And he was a passenger for the rest of that series, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Rest of that Sixers series. showed up, played well against Milwaukee, played even better in these finals. But you said at the top of the show about the bench. I mean, Serge last night, if it's not, if it smells like feet, Fred VanVleet, who we love and have right. fun with, then it's Serge. Look at VanVleet's numbers last night. 8 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 threes. Serge checks in with 9 for 12 from the floor, 20 points, really good defense. I mean, you know, that's how you play it, man.
Without a doubt. And for what it's worth, this has been a long time coming for the Raptors. You think about it. They were always overshadowed in the East, no matter what type of team effort they had by whom, LeBron James. And what he was able to do. That's why he was in the finals so many years. And no matter what Toronto did or put together, then they make the change to go to Nick Nurse at coaching. They still have a deep team, still have a deep bench. They make a play for a guy in Kawhi Leonard, who's turned out to be a better basketball player than most people have given him credit for in the past, because he showcased his talents throughout this playoffs. That aforementioned game 7, where he took over and won it single-handedly, comes in the finals, and he does what he just keeps on doing. And we're sitting here thinking from the sideline, dude, how can you possibly have this much energy? There were times where he looked tired. He just looked fatigued, worn out. And now you talk about the collection of the team, the people coming off the bench, the rotation. You know, yes, they have it better than the Warriors. You can sit there and say about the Warriors' injuries, but as I said before, that's part of the game. Part of being the champions, you got to learn how to win through that type of adversity.
And by the way, think about this. They got nothing.
No.
They got nothing. Right? I mean, you look at last night. This in the box score tells the story. So, you know, after game 3, which was, you know, almost a mistake that Steph has the great game that he did, because he can't do it 2 nights later. The body just won't allow you to do that
right.
2 nights later. That's why he's 2 for 9 from 3. Klay has the big game, but they got 28 and 27 from those guys, and just nothing. Still
nothing else.
Iguodala. What happened to Mr. MVP? Iguodala.
Just worn down.
Three points.
Yeah.
Come on, you gotta do better than that. 1 for 6 from the floor. Yeah, Draymond right. was a rebound shy of a triple-double.
You know, but you know, we also look at the point, and you can say what it is. I mean, you say what you want about it, but if it wasn't for Kevin Durant, I don't think Golden State got past Houston.
Correct.
I mean, it's just that simple. Yeah. If it wasn't for Kevin Durant,
you're right.
and he's, you know, his contribution on offense.
Correct.
For so many years, we've watched Golden State just pounce and pounce and score. And when they don't seem to get to that century mark for whatever reason, they're not as illustrious as they've been in the past.
Yeah,
and if they can't
put
up 100 points, they struggle. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened last night. And as you mentioned, if you're not getting, unlike the Raptors, you're not getting that contribution from some, the also names, if you will. You're not getting it.
Yeah.
You know, Iguodala the other night has a big game, and people were talking about when they finally got a win, you know, if they can keep it going. But, you know, they just don't have the power, the muster, and there's just too many injuries. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Toronto, because I think Toronto has beaten them. It hasn't just been the Warriors' loss. Toronto has beaten them.
Yes, I agree with that. Toronto has beaten them. They have flexed. Look, they're the better team, quite frankly. Yeah. I mean, last night, I expected them to win. I said it on the show. I thought that they would win the game. And
yeah.
I thought as the game went on, the fact that they were only down 4, you remember like midway through the second quarter, you were going, wow, they're only down 4. Feels like they should be down a ton.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And even at halftime, you're like, this game's pretty close.
Yeah.
And you know who's got nothing? Link? Boogie. Oh.
No. Well.
He just is, he's got knees in no shape whatsoever to play.
No doubt about it. I think it was game 3. Game 3, he looked horrendous, because I thought he was trying to do something or try to be something he wasn't. I thought he was trying to be another Draymond Green, trying to pinpoint those passes, and that's not the strength of his game.
No.
I mean, it's hard to redefine yourself when you're going into the playoffs, especially this time in the finals, you know, what you can do size-wise. Boogie is a person that you can put down by the blocks. If you have it worked within your offense, you can do it, but that's not the Warriors' way. They've never really relied on a big man on the inside to take over like that, so it's really hard for them to generate that. And another thing which kills me, and you would think about it, it's difficult, but I did realize it. You know, a lot of the Warriors don't have a mid-range shot. If it's not for Livingston, aside from Livingston, I'm talking about Warriors having mid-range shots, 10 to 15 feet from the basket. Everything either is either long or layup.
You're right. And listen, but the fact is they just have no players.
Well, I agree.
That team as constituted the other night without Clay doesn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
With just Steph, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, they're horrible. They have nothing. I mean, that's what happens when you got all those guys. You got no bench.
You got a starting an all-star five. I mean, if it's depleted, you're really suffering.
Yeah. Wow, that's wild, man. I can't believe it. The Raptors are going to win the NBA title. Now, you got a lot of time from before Monday night.
Certainly.
KD comes back. What odds you give him to win three in a row?
Oh. Below, even with KD, I still think the Raptors are 75% chance to win. I still give him 3-1 odds on winning.
That good, huh?
Yeah. I mean, because even KD comes back, there's going to be some level of rust. I mean, they're just
No. I say that good, meaning to me, it's like 10-1. Like,
okay. Well, I mean, I still think the Raptors got it. They've earned it.
We agree.
Especially if they're back in Toronto in front of their home crowd. Oh man.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if KD comes back. If he can come back and then you go to Toronto, steal one in Toronto, you come back to Oracle, then you got a game 7.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I hope that's the case. Give me more basketball.
You want more sports, yeah.
I don't want it to end, baby.
I know
this
that's right.
Great stuff, man. It really is. Big link. We got lots to do, lots to talk about. We got some football to talk about. I'm going to rail on some people.
Already? And football? Really? Already?
Yeah. You know, it is what it is, right? we're the fellas, and we're just enamored by the Toronto Raptors. And I'll leave you with this, Lincoln, to think about it. Kawhi can't leave now, can he? I mean, can he really leave after winning an NBA title? We'll talk about it with the fellas right here on Fox Sports Radio.
The fellas are brought to you by Discover. Discover will alert you if they find your Social Security number on any of one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. We are the fellas, as I said. He's Anthony Gargano. I'm Lincoln Kennedy, and we'll introduce the rest of the crew here because I got to catch up with you. How was your week, man? How's everything?
Bah.
Well, good morning to you too.
Yeah.
How's the rewrite going? How's the story?
I want to hang myself.
No. Really? That bad? What's going on?
Oh my God.
Are you beating yourself up?
No, the there's changes. Aren't all good. You know.
Here's the guy.
At least from a writer's standpoint,
I understand that you're passionate about your craft. I get that. We should look at it this way. At least there's interest. You know, and there's an opportunity when there's interest.
Believe that it's good. Like you know. It's really good. It should be made. It's not like the
I agree. I read it. I loved it.
Thanks, brother. You know, get to a point where you go, all right. Well, you know, it's the quality's there. So let's make it. Let's make this thing.
Right.
I mean, it's a good thing. I like the people that I work with.
That are working with. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're good. Like the producer's an amazing guy. Yeah. Rudy. Uh-huh. He's a good, really good guy. But you know, sometimes when you're creative, like you feel like you know, I've worked 9 months on a thing and you feel like, you know, it's like don't change a word. Like it's perfect.
You know, like, well, you know, other than that, the family,
let's
the boys
go,
good?
Man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Family, boys good, everybody's good?
The I had the greatest night I want to share with you.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, it was a great night. I want to share with you. But first, what's going on with my little nephews?
Well, they're doing well. I just got them. I had the Raiders had their symposium, rookie symposium yesterday, and I was a moderator for the panel.
You're the perfect guy for that.
Thank you.
The perfect guy. Like if I seriously, if I was a rookie, I'd want you to. I would pick your brain. I'd want to hear from you. That couldn't be any better choice.
Well, what was cool about what we did is that we had five generations representation of football players. We had Cliff Branch, we had Jerry Robinson.
Wow.
We also have Kurt Morrison, Rod Streeter, who is a most recent player, a wide receiver who was played with a couple teams, played with the Raiders, and then myself. So we had the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, and the 2010s represented on the panel. And it was just, you know, a discussion to the rookies in the incoming class, 2019, about, hey, you know, a lot of things have changed there with social media. You're under a bigger spotlight. I mean, just that casual conversation. We're talking about life in general, but what to expect and what to look forward to, and also the responsibility of being a Raider. And so it was a great time. And, you know, I was most excited because I went to Northern California and I was able to get my sons and bring them back down here to Arizona with me. So I've got them for the summer. So,
that's awesome, brother. Yeah.
I am giddy.
You sounded. I could hear it in your voice. Yeah.
I feel good.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
My little nephews, man.
That's right.
God bless them.
Yeah.
God bless them. So, what's Kirk Marston up to?
Kirk is still doing broadcasting. Yeah, he's doing broadcasting with Westwood One.
Fox Sports radio man.
Yep. He's still doing the radio, and he's calling games, both college and pro games like me. So
calling games. He's doing that's right. He's doing. Mm-hmm. He's good. I like Kirk. He's a good dude.
Yeah, good people.
How's you mentioned Cliff Branch.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Branch was one of the, I heard stories about him. Like they would tell stories about Cliff Branch. Being a young Raider fan as a kid.
Yeah. Phenomenal speed. He got fired up last night or yesterday telling the story about, you know, back in the heyday when they had that all-pro offensive line. Nobody was touching Stabler and Blandon, those guys. So that's when they really loved the long ball because he was like
– The Mad Bombers.
Yes, exactly right. He got into his story phase. He's like, look, if a corner was sitting on me, he wasn't backpedaling. With my speed, I'm running right by him. I'm telling Stabler, put it up. Let's go up top. And so he got fired up.
That's
I had to
awesome.
Take the mic from him.
And back then, think about you were they were banging you all over the field. They were trying
absolutely.
To bang. You know,
absolutely.
It was legal.
You know, he the fact is when you talk about level of success, they won the division I think 11 times in his 15-year career. He played in 7 AFC championship games. 7 AFC championship games. And, you know, there was several of those championships. He was just one win away from going to another Super Bowl. He ended up winning three, going to three and winning three. He's the only receiver, only Raider who's won all three of the Super Bowls, the Raider championship have. But, you know, you talk about that runner just being on that team. He said, and this is prior to free agency, they kept everybody together. They came to training camp, and they expected to be in the Super Bowl. It's almost like the Warriors. You're just saying, we keep things together, we're going to be there. And, you know, they were that good, that dominant at that time. It was them and the Steelers.
So the Raiders, three Super Bowls. Am I correct? 77 over Minnesota. Of course, I'll never forget.
Right.
80, the 80 season. So January 81 over the Eagles.
Philadelphia.
Uh-huh. And the Marcus Allen run against the Redskins in 82.
Yep.
Right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
It was a great run.
Yeah, it was a great run.
You talk about the 70s and you talk about just history. It was between – every time you looked up, it was either between the Steelers and the Raiders. That was your AFC championship for the most part at AFC.
The Immaculate Reception.
Oh, yeah. All those years.
Fumble. Remember the fumble?
Mm-hmm.
Snake fumbling forward. That's some great football, man. Yeah. I mean, I we were too young, so we kind of watched it over the – but the NFL films – I feel like I lived through it. I watched all those NFL films.
Aren't they great?
The best.
Great.
The best.
You know, I'm looking out at these youngins out there, and when we're doing the panel, and I'm having Cliff Branch and Jerry Robinson. You know, the linebacker out of UCLA was a first round pick for your Eagles.
I was going to say he was an Eagle.
Yeah, he was an Eagle. Yeah, came over to the Raiders. Played mostly with the Los Angeles Raiders at the time, but you know, looking at these guys were playing before the guys who were watching, we're talking to, were even born. You know, we're them sitting here, we're sharing stories about the heyday of what it's like to be a Raider and what it means to the community. And then Kirk Morrison, who grew up in Oakland, you know, sharing the stories and talking about, look, dude, you have no idea what this team has, the effect this team has on the community. And you are going to be, you know, on everybody's to-do list.
Shame, though. That's a shame. Listen, I love the Vegas thing because I think it's wild and it's pretty cool. But first, if I had my druthers, they would stay in Oakland.
Oh, true. No doubt about it. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I think of like a young Figgy growing up. You know, wide-eyed Raiders. You know what I mean?
You see Figgy in his jacket, you know.
Yeah.
His hat.
I love that black satin starter jacket.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm walking by a Charger fan and just give me a little shiv in the gut as I go get in my seat right quick. Those were the days,
great,
man.
Those are beautiful days.
By the way, not to carry on Raider propaganda, but how is Cliff Branch not a Hall of Famer?
Well, man.
There are receivers who have worse numbers than he does who are in.
Agree.
Minus the Super Bowl rings, by the way, too.
Minus the rings, yeah.
Or at least have as many rings as he does.
I agree.
You're right on, man. I agree. I think he's a stone hall. You know, it's amazing. You talk about the like mediocre dudes, like guys that were like they were good, that people want to propagate for the Hall of Fame, and Cliff Branch is not in it. Like, how can that be?
Same thing about Tom Flores.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know,
nah, you're right on, brother.
But I was told not too long ago. As a matter of fact, it was by Willie Brown, the Hall of Famer, you know what? Let me send my sentiment out. I know he's after his stroke, he's been had some good days and bad days. Willie, we're thinking about you, and you're in our hearts. We wish you nothing but the best, brother. Willie told me that he honestly believes that there are people in the Hall that think that the Raiders still have too many. Other teams need to catch up, so they don't want to keep putting in. You know, after Tim Brown went in. And we made the argument for Cliff Branch, made the argument for Tom Flores, and Tom's been on the finalists page for a couple of them, the last couple.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, they've got so many, the Raiders have got so many in, we got to let some other people in first. And I'm like, Mike, come on, give me a break. You deserve to go in.
It was a shame that the snake had to pass away before they put him in.
Exactly. True story.
And I feel like they waited. It's like, oh, he passed away, well, now let's do it. Like, we were sitting on the fence, but now that he died, let's put him in. That's terrible. They couldn't. You know, actually bask in the glory of being, you know, wearing the gold jacket and going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, nah. That's a great point, Fig. Hey, Link just sent me the picture of two handsome young fellas. And is that the model?
That's the model of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They were just glowing.
Oh, my God. It's so cool. What is that in the back? Like the Vegas Strip in the background?
That's the Vegas Strip in the background. That's what it's going to be looking like. The picture is going to look like.
That's outrageous.
What do you be able to say? You know what's funny is that
look
Tavon,
at these kids.
My
they are. They're adorable.
He goes up to the stadium model, and he looks at it. He's like, because it's all lit up, and he's like, man, this is pretty cool. He points out, said, those are our seats right there, Dad. And I'm like, wait a minute.
That is awesome. That is awesome. You know,
so how do you think you got seats already?
That is awesome. I'm looking at these kids, these handsome little boys, and talk about a dead ringer for you, cuz. Mini me's.
Yeah,
you got a couple of mini me's just right
there.
These
are my children.
They are beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, I love them. All right, and they just got that smile. Just like you, man. Got some people. I've always thought this in life. Some people are truly light. They have the light. They have the sparkle in the eye. When their presence in a room is like this beacon of light. And they raise up a room. And you got it. And those two have it. They got it from you.
I appreciate it, man.
They do. Figgy. You take it away, my brother.
All right, brother. You're talking about the city of Oakland. They may have seen their last spat of NBA basketball in Friday night as well. The Warriors on the way to San Francisco, of course, and they lost game 4 to the Raptors, 105-92. Kawhi Leonard, 36 points. 12 rebounds. Pascal Siakam, 19. Serge Ibaka had 20 points off the bench, shooting 9 of 12 from the field. Warriors did get 28 points from Klay Thompson in his return to the lineup, but Steph Curry made just 2 of 9 three-point attempts. The Warriors as a team made 8 of 27 from deep. The series now shifts to Toronto for Game 5, where the Raptors can clinch their first title in franchise history. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. And baseball, Kevin Pillar hit an RBI single to help lift the Giants to a 2-1 win over the Dodgers. Robinson Chirinos with the walk-off hit for Houston as they beat Baltimore in extra innings. Mike Soroka improved to 8-1, lowered his ERA to 1.38. The Braves dominated the Marlins 7-1. Cleveland over the Yankees 5-2. Rays over Boston 5-1. The French Open men's semifinal back underway. Novak Djokovic, Dominic Thiem continue their match that was suspended in the third set on Friday due to rain. They're currently tied at 4 games apiece in the third set. The winner faces Rafael Nadal on Sunday. And in the NFL, the Texans gave general manager Brian Gain the boot, while the Jets hired former Eagles director of player personnel Joe Douglas as their new GM. Fellas?
Thank you, Fig. Let me just say, the Jets got a great hire right there. Joe Douglas is a great football dude. He's going to bring another personnel guy, Andy Whitehall, with him, if the Eagles give him permission to take him, and I think they will. And Joe Douglas is a great hire for that franchise. The Jets, mark my words, are back. Even with that, I'm not the big Adam Gase fan, but Joe Douglas will have that roster set. He came from Baltimore, Link.
Right. You knew him with the Eagles organization, so that should be good. Maybe they'll get things in the right track.
Yep. Yeah, we're the fellas coming live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. So I had to say, let me tell you quickly these moments in life that were just beautiful. So it was Tuesday night, and we have a Little League game, and my little one is 6, and he's quite the player. Did I send you the video?
I have not seen any video yet, no.
I'm going to send you the video.
Yeah.
So he's 6, and he tried out for the 8-year-old travel team.
Basically. Nice.
So every night he's got the bug, and I eat it up, whatever. I love it. So my rule is, no matter what if they ask me to play, no matter what I'm doing, I drop it and play with them and do whatever they want.
Right, right.
If it's sports.
Right.
If it's something else, I'm busy. But
Daddy, you want to draw a dinosaur with me?
Well, I do that too.
There you go.
But I do draw the dinosaur. So we have a game. After the game, Massimo says to me, Daddy, let's stay, have a catch. All right. Now, we've been staying after the games and playing.
Right.
And I do this game with him. I give him pop-ups and grounders, and then he has to pitch, and there's a point system to it. So anyway, it gets dark, and we're in the car driving home, and he goes, where are we going? I go, well, you got school tomorrow. We're going home. He said, what do you say? Because I'm a little hungry. You hungry? I said, what do you want? He goes, I can go for a cheesesteak. I said, all right, let's go. So he and I go to like some pizza joint and we get 2 steak sandwiches. Uh-huh. And we're sitting there, and he says to me, so we're sitting there, and he's got his steak sandwich he's eating, and his little baseball uniform. He goes, Daddy, I was thinking about, you and I have a lot in common.
He's 6, people. He's 6.
I was laughing. I go, oh, my God. I love hanging out with him. I'm like, you're the man, brother. You're the man. You well up. You see that face in front of you. You're two beauty.
Oh, man. It's something. That's an awesome man. That was an awesome night. He sounds like an old soul. I mean, he really
sounds like an old soul.
You know how you could sit there and tell some people it felt like they've been here before?
Yeah.
Just their mannerisms and how they are and the way they have conversations and stuff like that. It's just like, And it's a great, such a rewarding feeling when you, like I said, when you see that they get it, no matter what it is, that light in their eye just goes off. And
yeah,
goes, oh, I man. Got this. And you have that sort of that kindred feeling with them, just like, I'm glad to be here in this moment. That's all great. Now watch him grow up and be a wonderful baseball player. And first time he gets a camera on, he's going to say, hi, Mom. Love you,
Mom. You bastard.
That's our early the Father's Day message to all the fathers out there.
Yeah. You stinking bastard.
Love you, Mom.
Yeah. All right. Your mom was out there throwing you pitches all night after working all day. Freaking in great.
Oh, look at that. Oh, you send me the pitches. Look at that. That is awesome.
You have that face. You get that cute face, huh? So,
oh, man.
Can Kawhi Leonard really leave? Like, you win a title. You're an MVP. I mean, they're on the precipice. Really, win or lose. Like, God forbid they lost and you blew a 3-1 lead. But you win a title. Can you just leave? Or does it make it easier? Like, you go, I don't owe you anything. I brought you a title. See ya.
You know what's hard for me, ever since you proposed the conversation topic, what's hard for me to realize is that there are people who just live differently and think differently than can be expected. I mean, I would have never thought LeBron James would leave Cleveland. For what? You're a walking god. I mean, I know he's still, you know, best basketball player, but he's lost a little bit of that luster leaving Cleveland for Los Angeles. So stranger things would have happened. Why would a superstar go from a team that's contending to the team that just won 73 games to get on board with them and to what great Kevin Durant did? So I can't put anything past anyone. I see the logic in your point. Why would you leave? If you bring this team, this country a championship that's never had before, the first in franchise history, and you'll probably be anointed MVP of the finals as well, why would you leave? Stranger things have happened.
I mean,
I wouldn't
about
leave.
Royalty in a country.
Oh, absolutely.
Kawhi Leonard, go anywhere you want. Like, and here's the thing about Southern California, and you guys can attest to this. LeBron's LeBron, and you know Kawhi will get his stardom no matter what too. But you're still a B-lister.
Oh, Clippers are the stepbrother.
Yeah, well, but even LeBron's a B-lister in that town.
Yeah, well, because you haven't until you bring in a championship, you're just another name, no matter what
you
achieve.
But like even on the start the celebrity pecking order. I mean, in that town, with all those actors and directors and actresses and that star, and musicians, you're just another. You're a celebrity, but LeBron's a B-lister because you're still just a sports guy.
Yeah,
as world dominant as he is, I mean, I'm not saying he's like Kawhi, and he's got only a different. He's on a different status, but still, he's not like you walk. If Kawhi stays in Toronto, he's God. Well, he walks down the street like, you know, they part for Kawhi.
True, quiet and weirdness and all. He goes to Southern California. He's just weird in a Clippers uniform.
Yeah, look, he's right. Another freak in L.A.
Figgy. Ain't the right Figgy.
I'll take minor offense to that, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. He'd blend in, and he's quiet. And, I mean, that's how Los Angeles is. You see a star walking down the street. It's like, oh, yeah, that's nice. And you keep on pushing, you know.
Right.
LeBron being B-list, to a degree, I mean, he didn't endear himself to the city that much, so he's still a little bit of a divisive figure out here, especially for a lot of sect of Laker fans.
I don't mean that he's – like that he's small.
Yeah, you just mean his status, but it's just his status.
I'm just saying, like, when you compare it to, like, you know, these big pop icons and all the, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
it's weird because he rubs elbows with so many of those people, too, so it's almost like it meshes together. It's like there are people.
Yeah.
I always gauge these sort of things off, does my mom know who they are?
Yeah,
so it's just like, does my mom know LeBron James? Okay, she does. Okay, then he's a pretty big deal. Because yeah, otherwise, she, if it's a sports figure, she has no clue who it is, generally.
Yeah, but
speaking.
He's not, like, my point is, he's not Denzel Washington.
No. Although, it depends. I mean, if you're just talking about recognizability, or are we just talking about access
like
to places?
Status,
or,
like, you know, just, like status type of thing. Like to me, the athlete can only reach a certain height, unless you're, like, Jordan. As LeBron's the biggest athlete in the world.
Right.
But even he can only reach a certain height. There was only like one athlete to me that was global in the sense of truly global. And that was Mike.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
I guess it depends on what you're using it to gauge off of.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible.
Like, is there a certain club we're trying to get into, or is there a certain perks you're trying to get?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's just kind of like looking at the. My only point was, you go to L.A., you're not special in L.A.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Yo, you're no more special than other celebrities. This is why a lot of fans were not awestruck when he came here to begin with. It's like, all right, that's great.
Yeah,
have you won yet?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of
but
people that have
like,
the attitude.
You stay in Cleveland.
Oh, you're a king.
That's your town, man.
No pun intended. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's all. And I'm for Kawhi, like, and the whole question goes around Kawhi. Like, if you're Kawhi Leonard – like, I know you want to play in Southern California, but why not play a couple more years in Toronto?
Now, what makes it unique, too, is if you were to come to the Clippers, the Lakers have their legacy already built. It's hard to break above because they have so many great players that have already played there. There's something that makes those guys wholly unique. Kobe played there for 20 years. Magic, won 5 titles. Kareem was part of those runs. All those guys had LeBron James doesn't have that connection. When you look at the Clipper franchise, who was their staple of greatness? Chris Paul for 5 years? Blake Griffin for 5 years.
Yeah.
So he can make his legacy in Toronto, but he'd come to the Clippers and the slate is almost clean for him with the Clippers to build a legacy and be the face of that franchise's brand too.
All right, so hold that point because I think that's a really good one. We're the fellas and talking NBA Finals. Big Link, I'm Cuz. Fellas on Fox. All right, welcome back, fellas. Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano, discussing where? What, Kawhi Leonard, could he possibly leave? Why would he? Fig brings up a good point about the Clippers building a legacy, building a team. You figure out the Lakers have theirs, so Kawhi can go to the Clippers and build something. The only thing is, I wouldn't be in a big rush. I would give it another 2 years, year or two in Toronto if I was Kawhi, Link.
Well, I feel the same way. I don't know, when talking about building a legacy, if you win a championship, if you're a part of the team, and you're the MVP of the team that brings its first championship to a franchise, aren't you building a legacy there? I mean, it's Toronto. I mean, it's not. We're not talking about some small city. We're talking about a major
city.
It's
a great city, yeah.
In North America, in all honesty, I feel that the Clippers are the stepbrother in Los Angeles. The also mention, if you will, it would take them an eternity. I don't think they can ever, close the gap between. It's Lakers town.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it is what it is.
Until it's not, right? Until the Clippers become cool and, somehow the Clippers usurp them. Like, and you go, I did that. Yeah. Maybe that's part motivation. I agree with
but
you.
But that's another discussion. How does that happen? Well, they've got to have their own arena. They got to have their own establishment, if you will. And so you're not walking into the arena and looking up in the rafters and you see none but Laker jerseys.
Yeah.
That's coming, by the way. I think that's opening in 2025.
Until that happens, you can't start that process, though, Figgy. Right.
Right.
But why so late?
Well, there's an issue and there's a lawsuit against the city of England. It's being built right next to the Rams Stadium, and there are some zoning issues because MSG James Dolan owns the Forum that he bought, and he says that they're usurping the area. So there's some litigation going on that's holding it up, but all the principal people believe that it's going to happen. And you have to break ground. It hasn't even broken ground yet. They haven't even started talking. So these things do take a little bit of time. But we talk about the quirkiness when it comes to Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he's the type of person where, you know, I'll come to L.A., I'll be the small fish, I'll win as much as I want. I have no problem still being second fiddle because that's Kawhi, and who the heck knows what he's thinking and what's going on in his mind.
True story.
Yeah, you know, I can come here, I can be at home, I can win as much as I want, and nobody would care. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, he doesn't care. No, right. He's the weirdest human being,
isn't he?
I've seen. Yeah, he just is a weirdo.
I like that.
No disrespect, but I mean, come on.
Nah, I mean, listen. I mean, you know, you dropped 36 finals. You're the man. You know, he's amazing because he's a lot like Mike in a lot of ways. Like he became a great shooter. He's an outrageous defender. He's it.
Yeah.
He's the best all-around player in the league. That's just the fact right now. Yeah. But he's weird. It's all right. You know what I mean? Sometimes genius people that of that ilk are weird. They're strange. Correct. Hey, we're the fellas. Plenty more. You just keep coming back right here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, the fellas. Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more car insurance. Visit geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. Reacting to last night's big win last night, game four goes to the Raptors, 3-1 lead now, taking both games at the Oracle. Amazing. Both games at Oracle go to the Raptors. Klay's back, and Klay's good, and Klay's really good. But Steph's not. Steph's feeling a little bit fatigued, you can tell. And the two of them get no help. Although Draymond played his normal game. But outside of that, there is no other scoring punch. They just can't beat Toronto and that defense without Kevin Durant. It's just clear. They can't win.
Well, I don't even know how effective Kevin Durant would be in this series, especially where it is and how rusty he would be from the time being off. They are definitely a different team with Durant in there. They're more of isolation-style basketball than team concept, but they could definitely use his scoring output because held under 100 points is not their recipe for success, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, brother. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, you have this – you the way they're constituted now, even if you think about game two, which the Warriors won, it took an epic drought in the third quarter for the Warriors to beat Toronto.
Right.
An epic drought. I mean, I got to tell you.
Warrior basketball is notorious for having come out in the third quarter and just taking over and putting the pressure on opposing teams. And for what it's worth, last night you saw the opposite. I mean, it was Toronto that poured it on in the third quarter, and made it very difficult for the Warriors to that run that they had in the first half. The way they made things seem in the first half, thought they run on with the game, but not the case.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I don't even know what they could do because who knows if KD can get himself ready by Monday. Jalen Rose said yesterday that Kevin Durant's recent workouts did well on any level, quote unquote. Mm. You know, so I don't know what that means. They go to Toronto, and they could just be Raptor food.
What it means is that's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Could you imagine they beat? They're going to win this thing in five. Wow. And look, they can go with the built-in excuse. Injuries. The fact of the matter is,
you lost.
And the injuries, the Raptors are just a better team. They're a better defensive team. They match up. Now, look, Kevin Durant's playing. It's a series. But, you know, what are you going to do? What a wild night. I mean, watching them play defense, it was just riveting. I love me some Kyle Lowry now.
Yeah. Now you do? Know. Yeah.
What's that?
I said, you do. I, in the sense that, you know, for a while I was critical of Kyle because I didn't think he showed up in the playoffs. I was like, where was he? But he had found a newfound energy and a sense of purpose throughout this series. And
you're right. He didn't play well against the Sixers. He played better against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then, but he's really stepped it up in the finals. He played real well.
Guys, don't forget Mr. Van Vliet. I think he found some Dr. Show with some odor readers, and he's playing
he
better.
He did. So, yes, smells like feet, man. Has had a great finals. He has. He's had a great finals.
And, he's got a scar to go with it.
Exactly.
Now,
battle scars.
There it is.
Listen, he's playing, and he's playing. He's saddled with playing Steph, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's played well. He really has. He's been great. The Danny Green up until last night was tremendous. Surge last night was like young Surge, right? Mm-hmm. Surge.
Sam.
Young. Yeah. What's that from? Eddie Murphy, right?
Was it?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, yeah. There was a character in the Surge.
Surge.
Figgy, you had in your pool. Didn't you have the Raptors representing the East?
I did. I had the Raptors coming out. I didn't have them winning the championship. I'll say that honestly. No, but I did have them. But I did have them coming out of the Eastern Conference. Yes.
Yeah. Did we all do?
I don't believe we all did.
Well, you didn't. You had the Sixers. We know you. You had the
I probably did that. Did I really? I don't know. Was that bad of a homer pick?
No.
Did I?
I may have even heard Anthony earlier this week saying that if the Sixers were in the finals, they'd be in the same position, and this is like their championship, and they should be winning, and that whole thing.
Well, how'd you know that?
You said that? He said that?
I keep my ears to the ground, Ant.
Yes. You said that?
I hear a lot of things.
Yes. I believe that, too. I'm not saying it. I'm not going to make this show make – I'm not going to turn – what the Raptors have done into that show. But in you know, when you're doing a show in Philly, I could do it. I actually do believe it. I do believe that they – and I'll make the argument for just indulge my –
okay.
My,
you made sense when you were talking about it on your show, by the way. So it's not like I'm not trying to hate on
thank
it.
You, brother.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me you were listening? Text me. I'd have you
but I don't want to. I don't want to distract you doing the show. So.
No, it's not a distraction. It's all we do is text during the show. I would have loved for you. I would have had you call up, man. I'll have you book you as a guest.
No, I'll do it in the future for sure. I check in every now and then. So
yeah,
I do
make
listen.
Sure. Make sure. So but the premise is this, is the Raptors beat the Sixers in 7 games on a miracle shot by Kawhi. During those 7 games, Joel Embiid had gastroenteritis. He also had a head cold. He had something, and knee fatigue, knee soreness. If he's anywhere close to 50%, they win game 4. And it's not even close. Like he had nothing. He was sick and out of it and the whole thing. And they went 7 games. There's no one who can guard him. They would have, and could you imagine what Embiid would have done to Boogie during this series? And then you got Butler and Tobias and Ben. Come on. There's no way in the world they're losing. And truth be told, they got robbed. Well, I mean, bad luck. Embiid.
I'm about to say they didn't get robbed.
Oh, they got robbed. There was no officiating or anything. I wouldn't go that far.
No, I know. The bad luck. It was the bad luck.
You just got a bad back.
I was about to take it to a too far level.
Oh, no, that's why I had to say, wait a minute. No, they didn't get robbed. Let me jump in.
No, you guys are right. But when you think about it, you got to give me a point here.
I give you a point because I do believe Embiid is – probably one of those players that you deem unguardable when he's at the top of his game. You know, who's going to, just like a Kevin Durant, who's going to stop him? But the thing is we've often seen some good teams just have to get those lumps like this.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to see what the Sixers put together for the future reference. I think they're going to be, if they're able to stay together, especially with Jimmy Butler, I think they're definitely viable in the East. They're going to be one of those contenders we're going to be talking about for a while. But they got to get a visit from Willie Lump Lump to really know what it's like to have that taste in their mouth and stay hungry.
One thing we're also looking at is an all things being equal situation too. If Embiid is healthy, then maybe that series doesn't even go that far and they win it. But then if we're doing ifs, what if the Warriors are 100% healthy? Regardless of who they're playing in the finals right now, this finals is a different story. If Klay doesn't miss a game and Kevin Durant is there and he's healthy and never got hurt in that Houston series too. So, like, the Sixers were dealing with Embiid's issues from early in the postseason.
You know what it is? And you're dead right, Fig. Yeah, I guess what it is it's one thing if you have an injury, like a real injury.
Yeah.
But he had the runs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You had the Paul Pierce working, huh?
I mean, you were talking, we're talking runs.
Oh, so he just put on some Depends under his shorts, and he could have just kept on rolling.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah.
You know, and then not even, and that was one game. The other game, he had like a head cold. He was all out of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was sick with a head cold. I mean, where have you seen a guy have a stomach virus and then a head cold?
The same time I've seen somebody taking their vitamins.
Yeah, somebody who's sitting on the bench looking at someone else's cell phone reading messages.
That's right.
No, you guys are dead on. I'm just saying, like, that's enough for me to go, jeez, that should have been.
And you know, to be honest with you, and all jokes aside, I think Embiid can be a tremendous player, but he's going to have to learn how to manage himself. And you know, you talk about the way he takes care of himself, you talk about his diet, all the things that you had mentioned that you know about him. You know that it's a critical for athletes at this level, especially, to realize that their body is their best investment. Yeah. Their body and their mind. They have to take care of themselves. They have to be available, because they're no good to anybody if you have the runs, if you have a head cold, if you know, you can't really guard against knee pain, tremendous amount of pressure and amount of tread that they put on those tires. But I mean, these things that you have to do. You need to be around.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, you're right on, brother. No, and it's funny, he recognized it during his exit interview. He spoke about taking better care of himself. It was funny. So he was at this restaurant on last Sunday called Park, in this area of Philly called Rittenhouse Square.
Okay.
And my buddy was there,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a brunch type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the same waiter as Embiid, and he asked the waiter, what's my man eating right there?
Right.
And he said, grilled chicken. He went, all right, nothing fried, right? No fries?
Just grilled come on chicken. Now. That's a little overboard, cuz. Yeah. You know, you got to tell my man, let the man eat. He's a grown-ass
personal
man.
Nutritionist trying to or something? Babysit him?
Hey, listen, they got to win, man.
All right? See, I'm going to come take this moose cake off your table. You don't need this. You're still paying for it, though, but I'm going to take this one, Joel. Yeah. Hold up.
I wish a mofo would.
Do you know the great story of Charles Barkley and Pat Croce and the pizza?
I do not.
No.
You got to tell us on the other side, man.
It's a great story, yeah. It's the Charles Barkley and pizza story. So you can only imagine. All right. So I'll tell you that on the other side. And we've got to get into Dick Girardi's going to join us.
Oh, nice.
To break down the Belmont. He's got a winner, he thinks.
Yeah. Is that right?
Nice. Yeah. Use some fuzzles.
Man, I need some fuzzles.
Yeah, man. We got lots to get to. We're the fellas right here on Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it, covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges, and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
The fellas are brought to you by Discover. Discover alerts you if they find your Social Security number on any of one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. He's Anthony Gargano, Lincoln Kennedy, and on the line, I believe we got Dick Girardi to talk a little bit about the horse race coming up today in the Belmont. Good morning, Dick.
Lincoln, Anthony, how are you guys?
Wonderful, horses and hoops, that would be Dick Girardi.
True story.
That's what he does. He's from Baltimore, so that's what he does. Horses and
hoops, baby. That is true, and I'm still like, it's been 3 weeks since the Preakness, and I still can't believe, Anthony, we didn't get our 1-5 exacta home. I mean,
oh,
really.
Oh, man.
I gotta tell you. I think I mushed you, man. I don't know what it is. That might be a mush job of me. I mean, how do you feel going into today, brother?
very confident. I'm going for six in a row in the Triple Crown. The powers that be upstairs disqualified me in the Derby, but I'm counting that as a win. Yeah. Same horse all the way through last year, and I'm going to try three different horses. I like Tacitus today in a Belmont Six, the 10. I actually think he's going to win big, and I just gave you out a trifecta, 10-6-8, 10-8-6. That spinoff and Intrepid Heart, and Anthony, if I know you, you'll get involved, and I think you need to. And I don't know if you have an Express Bet account yet or not, but if you don't, you need to get one.
That's of course I do. I have the Express Bet account.
Well, there you go. You can get on there, get the wagering guide right now, see what I like. But I just told you what I like, and you need to get on and make some money today because there's money to be made at the Belmont Stakes.
DJ, and what is it about? I just want real quick, because just off of what you just said, Dick, that's a rarity, right? Usually the Belmont is not the moneymaker.
No, it's not, but I think today there's possibilities. Look, I think Tacitus is going to go favored. I'm going to try to beat – I have no loyalty in this game whatsoever. I'm going to try to beat War of Will, who I cast a nice ticket on in the Preakness. I thought he ran as good as he possibly can 3 weeks ago, so I'm tossing him out off the ticket and trying to beat him today. And if it's a 10-6, that's especially going to be a nice number. That could be like a $30, $35 exacta for two.
That's pretty impressive. When you talk about the Belmonts, DJ, I'm trying to understand this because in the past I've seen horses that have done well in the Derby and skipped the Preakness do well in Belmont. And the other way around, you know, horses that run the Derby and then do better in the Preakness don't tend to do well in Belmont. What is it about Belmont that makes such a – it kind of breaks the cycle, if you will?
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's interesting. Of the last 20 Belmonts, 10 have been won by horses who ran in the Derby or Derby weekend and that did not run in the Preakness. Wow. In fact, only four horses that have won the Preakness in the last 20 years came back to win the Belmont, and two of them were Triple Crown winners. And the reason is modern racehorses don't run three times in 5 weeks like they have to in the Triple Crown, and that's War of Will's issue. As good as he was in Baltimore, he's the only horse that's going to go through the whole series. So you are 100% right, Link. It is a problem if you try to run in all three. Tacitus ran in the Derby, ran well, finished fourth, moved up to third, sat out the Preakness. He's coming back. He fits the modern pattern for Belmont winners.
Wow, that's fascinating. We're talking to Dick Girardi, who is a horses and hoops legend, brought to us by ExpressBet. So, curious, Dick, when you look, you covered so many of these things. What makes each of them special? Like, it is the third leg of the Triple Crown, and if I said to you, Derby, Preakness, Belmont, and they each have that thing, what is that thing for each of them?
So the Derby is just, it's the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's the whole city of Louisville probably would cease to exist without Churchill Downs in the Derby. It's such a huge thing, and it's been around for 150 years, and you get 170,000 people on a Saturday after getting 120,000 people on a Friday, and it's this giant party. The Preakness is just a wild scene in Baltimore. To me, it is the infield. That's really what makes it, the bands and it's like a big rock concert out there, and unusual this year, but typically it's the first time we get to see the Derby winner run. And the Belmont, it's Long Island, it's New York City. You can get on the Long Island Railroad coming out of the city, take you right to the racetrack, and it's this massive oval, a mile and a half, 50% bigger than either Churchill Downs or Pimlico, and it's such a beautiful setting, and it's kind of an old-time grandstand. And I love going to the Belmont Stakes, and it's a perfect ending because summer's about to start, and it's just you say, hey man, this has been really cool for 5 weeks. This is it.
DJ, we got about that mile and a half distance for the Belmont. You often looked at pace setters and closers. Who do you think is the pace setter in this race? And talking about some of the closers that we've seen in the past, which ones do you think can really make a run at the end and really challenge for the first spot?
Yeah, there's no question Jovia, the one horse, is going to be in front. I do not think he has any chance of being around at the finish. I think he's just out there. Look, at the people that own him and bet on him, they'll have a thrill for like till the top of the stretch, and then when the horse starts backing up, you go, ah. that wasn't good. I don't think he's going to last a mile and a half. And I'm hoping Tacitus is the one that's got the biggest run at the end.
Right.
He's bred for it. He's by a superstar sire named Tappet, whose sons have won 3 of the last 5 Belmonts. So he's absolutely bred for the distance. And interestingly, the only time Tappet didn't win the Belmont in the last 5 years was when we had the 2 Triple Crown winners, Justify and American Pharaoh. So Tacitus could not be better bred to run the distance of a mile and a half.
Tacitus for the rest of us. I love it. I'm excited for it. Hey, real quick, Dick, because we have you and you are a hoops maven, Raptors up 3-1, take both games at Oracle. Any shot, Warriors come back?
Yeah, there's always a shot because of who they are and what they've done and their pedigree. But they look a little tired to me, Anthony and Link. I mean, the last 2 games, they just have faded in the fourth. And it might just be because they're playing with guys that are hurt. They don't have one of their superstars. And Toronto's playing great. I mean, they've gotten better and better and better. If you think about it, they've now won, I think I got this right, 7 out of 8 going back to the Milwaukee series.
Yeah.
Then they went
four in a row.
Did anybody think? I thought they had no shot against Milwaukee after the first 2. So they've just gotten better. And Leonard is just a phenomenal player. I think you could make a case today that he's the best player in the world.
Definitely. Yeah, right, definitely. True or false, Dick? The Sixers are here. They're winning the NBA championship.
Well, boy, that's a great question. I would say false, and not because I don't think they're talented enough. I think the difference between them and the Raptors is Raptors have guys that have been in this spot. Leonard's been in it. Ibaka's been in it. They have guys that have been in the league for a long time. That's the one thing the Sixers just don't have yet. You got to go through this.
Lincoln said the same exact thing.
Yeah, for your minds think alike.
I think
you
that's
did.
It.
Like you guys know, like as I'm going through my own weird psychoses and thinking, oh my god, if Embiid's healthy, the Raptors still won on that miraculous shot.
Absolutely.
That you never saw before. Doink 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 doink. Yep. Are you kidding me?
Yep. That was crazy. And look, a lot of it is matchups. Toronto just has the right matchup to play against this particular Golden State team. But I do think the finals are different. I just think there's something on the line. There's a trophy on the line. It's just the pressure is different. And does anybody on Toronto look like they're at all awed by the situation? I would say no.
Yeah, no, you're right on. You're right on. I got one last one for you because you are a great draft guy too. True or false, the future Hall of Famer from this draft class will not be Zion, but be Ja Morant.
I'm going to say true. I love
it. I love it.
I think he's got everything. I think he's the modern NBA point guard that everybody wants. You could build a team around him and win big with him if you get the right players.
Yes. I think the same thing. I think everybody's going, man, I want Ja Morant if I'm anyone. Hey, God bless Zion. He's built, you know, like granite and the whole thing. But, jeez, this Ja Morant's a basketball player.
Yeah, I'll be shocked. I'm losing track. Who got the second pick? Memphis?
Memphis.
Yeah,
Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to – I think that's where he went to school, right? In that general vicinity. So he can just stay around those parts. Yeah, I love that kid. I whenever they were on last year, I could not get enough of it. I just love to watch him play.
Yeah, it's the best. Dick, you're the man, brother. We love you. It's
love
great
to talk to you too, DJ. Thank you, man.
That's good, guys. Always great talking to you.
Appreciate it. Dick Girardi. The horses and hoops is what he does.
10-8-6 or 10-6-8. That's your trifecta.
All right, are we doing this today again?
I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it.
Man. We got to win.
I mean,
he sounds really confident too.
Absolutely, we had the Derby. He picked it right. We were until the disqualification.
He did have it right
we had
too.
It. We just tore my
son of a beans. It's just not fair.
We'll get disqualified in the Derby. What? Come on.
What happens? Like, are you crazy? Like, that happened? I mean, that's just not right. That's not fair. No, it just ain't fair.
I was there, man.
It just ain't fair. It's no fair. Right. No good. Figgy.
Yes, sir.
Figgy. What's Figgy trending?
Well, we'll get right to game four of the NBA Finals from Friday night. Klay Thompson back in the lineup for Golden State. Had a pretty good game, too. 28 points, 11 of 18 from the field. Not enough. Raptors will come away with a 105-92 win. Kawhi Leonard, 36 on the night. He was aided by Pascal Siakam's 19 points. And Serge Ibaka, 9 of 12 from the field, 20 points off of the bench. The Raptors can close out the series and win their first NBA championship in franchise history with a victory at home on Monday in Game 5. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. The French Open semifinal, Novak Djokovic took the third set 7-5 over Dominic Thiem. They're currently tied at 4 games apiece in the fourth set. Baseball last night, the Giants beating the Dodgers 2-1 in San Francisco. Astros walk off Baltimore in extras. Marcus Semien went deep twice for Oakland in a 5-3 win over Texas. Padres with a walk-off victory over Washington. Rays over the Bo Sox. Cleveland beat the Yankees 5-2. Women's World Cup action continues on FS1 today at 9 a.m. Eastern with Germany taking on China. We'll get back to the fellas in 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Back to the horse racing show of record, the fellas.
Yeah, far from it. We are the fellas. That's right. Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano, right here, Fox Sports Radio Studios. From the Geico, Fox Sports Radio Studios, 15 minutes can save you 15% or more in car insurance. Just check out geico.com and get yourself a free rate quote. All right, so Big Link, I've been remiss. Because we've been busy. First of all, you and I needed sometimes if we don't speak during the week, we got to chit-chat.
We got to catch up.
I usually use the first part of the show. All the Raptor stuff. So yeah. I have not. I feel bad. I've neglected two of our fellas.
We got a 4-hour show. It's a great thing. We're going to get to them, but yeah, we had to just do some. Had to do a little catching up. So,
well, our producer. And he's a fine hockey man, and this series has been outrageous, and I'm all over the Blues.
Yeah, it's been very entertaining, to say the least.
And he is, of course,
there's nothing like Stanley Cup playoffs, man. Then you get to the finals, it's all, and I don't even have a dog in the fight, and I'm 110% into it.
However, there's one thing. That was a blatant trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate Boston, but that was a blatant trip. Cam Neely was right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That little shot of him chucking the water bottle across with their little owner's booth or whatever. The brass upstairs. Yeah. There's been a couple moments in these playoffs where it's just the officiating. It's just blatant misses on their end, and it seems like every league the big moments are scarred by some kind of officiating blunder.
So,
and it's found its way into the NHL. They had the the Sharks player get the 5-minute major, totally flipped that series when the Las
Vegas
Knights.
The hands pass against the
Blues last round, and the Sharks were involved in a couple of them. The Blues have been involved in a couple. But people are saying it's even in and out a little bit now, but it sucks. What about Zdeno Chara taking a puck to the face, guys?
Mm. Oh, my God. Playing. Steel,
coming back to play.
Some steel marbles.
I wouldn't say right that.
Playing. Who plays with a broken jaw?
Broken jaw.
Hockey players, that's it. Yeah.
Tough guys. Legitimate tough guys.
Every year there's something. There was Steven Stamkos took a puck to the face a few years back. There's a folklore of Roundnut. What's his name? Campbell for the Bruins, who blocked 2 shots, broken leg, in the finals a couple years ago for the Bruins. So every year there's one.
Matt Sport, man. Woof. That is rollerball, man, on ice.
That's one thing to take it to the face and lose a tooth. He literally broke his jaw. It was out there a couple of days
broke
later.
His jaw, and apparently he wrote out 2 answers to the media during his media availability yesterday.
Wow.
So. Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. And, of course, we got Chris, our associate producer and our sound man who makes sure everything is...
Technical guru.
He's a tech guru. What's up, Chrissy?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Everything Wonderful. Good?
Yeah, I'm doing good here.
You all wrapped it up, or are you disappointed?
I'm in awe of the Raptors. I can't really lie. I'm in awe of Kawhi. Really, Lowry's been great too. They've had some great guys, but Kawhi for me is dead center stage. Even though he makes Tim Duncan look interesting when he speaks off the court.
That's a good line, man. That's a real good line.
I don't think anybody's ever termed Tim Duncan interesting.
That's right.
I mean, when Kawhi was in San Antonio, he must have just learned from the best.
Exactly.
But the apprentice has surpassed the master now.
Man, that's the truth. Ain't that the truth? All right. I wanted to get this. I'm glad that Eric brought it up, and that was the officiating crisis that
Wait. Before you do, I got to hear this Barkley and Croce story about the pizza.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm sorry. Charles Barkley's drafted by the Sixers, and Pat Croce later became the owner of the Sixers and was on NBC, if you remember, NBA on NBC. He was the trainer for the Sixers.
Oh, he did it all, huh?
Yeah, he actually was the trainer. Actually, he became a multimillionaire.
Those are pretty well compensated as a trainer to be able to buy the team. Right. Damn, making bank.
So you know what Pat did? Pat was brilliant. Pat basically was the forefather of physical therapy.
Hmm.
So before, like PT, before Pat was weird. It was not as athletic.
Uh-huh.
Pat made these centers athletic. So, like, you know, sweats and working out. And before, they were, like, more of a thing for the sick. And so he changed the whole vibe to PT centers. And he sold them for lots and lots of money to something called NovaCare. All right? So
you go out there and buy yourself a basketball team. That's not bad.
That's what happened with Pat. And but when Pat was the trainer, Charles, for dinner every night, would order two large pizzas, and that was his dinner. And they were trying to get him to lose weight desperately.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pat was trying to put him on a diet, and it didn't work out. So finally, he shows up, and he intercepts the pizza man. And he gets the two boxes. He takes one whole pizza out of one, and he takes half the pizza out of the other, leaving Charles with four slices instead of having the two pies, which would have been 16 slices.
Right.
He hides in the bushes with the pizza. The pizza guy goes, you know, Charles, you know, pays for the pizza, gets the pizza. Now, it's funny because he didn't realize it was kind of light.
There's
probably,
only one,
right?
One box instead of two boxes. And
he made sure he kept the other box.
Oh, I see. He gave him both boxes. Okay.
Yeah.
So Croce was just holding the pizzas in his hand.
All of a sudden, the pizza guy leaves and Charles comes out of his house screaming.
Uh-huh.
Right. My pizza! And then there was Pat lurking with the pizza, saying, dude, no good. No pizza.
Wow. Talk about taking your job into another level right there.
He also, how about the story of Sean Bradley? You ever hear of Sean Bradley?
No.
Oh, I heard of him. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, Space Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stiff.
Got dunked on a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a horrible player.
Shaq missed him with a haymaker a couple times. I don't know how you missed
him. He was like 9'2", 9'2". And he couldn't play a lick. And he was another one. He was in horrible shape, but he was thin.
Yeah.
He was like a bag of bones. Mm-hmm. He was like this giant skeleton. So Pat was also had to work with him.
Right.
And so like they had like, you know, he put him on these like plans, right?
Should have gave the pizza to Sean.
Exactly.
and nothing was working. He's like, what's going on, man? You know, like you're supposed to. But he was getting in worse shape. And he was developing, instead of like putting pounds and muscle on, he was developing a belly.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he was not doing Pat's plan because Pat went in and inspected his car.
Uh-huh.
And he found all these McDonald's bags. And Pat freaks out, goes, dude, what are you doing, man? You're not supposed to be eating this kind of thing. And he says, well, look, I have coupons. And he was using McDonald's coupons. He signed a $76 million contract, and the guy was using McDonald's coupons to eat.
Well, you don't get rich by spending money, Ant.
True story.
Yeah, you also don't stay in the league by Mickey D's. Look, it's a nice treat and all, but you can't eat it every day.
He said it was guaranteed no matter what he did anyway, so he got it.
Right, yeah. Meanwhile, I got a coupon for two filet of fishes, so you better get out of my way.
Anybody best right? The McRib is back. Let's do it.
You got $76 million. You can go get some good leafy greens and some lean steaks. Come on. I hated him. Oh, he was horrible. The only reason why he was even in Pearl Jam.
I was like, oh, something I didn't know.
I know. Space Jam. The only reason why he was in Space Jam was because David Falk was his agent.
Mm.
And David Falk, because I asked Charles, I go, what doesn't belong here?
Yeah.
It's you. It's Patrick Muggsy. Ewing.
Muggsy right? was in there.
And Sean Bradley, like, what the hell? Yeah. So I asked Charles recently. Because my kids watch it all the time. I'm like, right. Dude, what's up with Sean Bradley?
Larry Johnson was in there. Yeah.
Yeah, mama, grandmama.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, David Falk was his agent, and he shoehorned him into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we all laughed at him. So.
You know what would be interesting? Play the game. You know, LeBron's doing the remake. So who would be the Martians now? Who would you think would be the starting five Martian group now with the players of today?
Would it just be all clutch sports people if that's the role we're looking at?
Well, who plays the stiff?
Who's the stiff?
Yeah.
That's a good question. All right, let's think about it on the other side. We're the fellas. Let's play Who's the Stiff? Coming up next, Lincoln Kennedy, Figgy, I'm Cuz. Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing. And a less than perfect one. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Fellas, Lincoln Kennedy. I'm Anthony Gargano. The big link.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You know who really needs a beating? And this is going to be one of the four because that's usually a every other four is need a beating.
Every four is need a beating. Who would you beer friend and slap around? I would like to bring you one of your questions.
But the minority owner of the Warriors and the Kyle Lowry thing.
Oh yeah,
that's so outrageous. Is it not?
I mean, it really is, and for so many reasons. You know, I've often said that the circle between fan and player has been closed because they're trying to allow people. There's just certain interactions that shouldn't happen. I mean, there's really no way that Drake should be standing up, giving the coach of his home team a back rub on the sideline. More importantly, if it was the other way around, if Lowry had shoved somebody like that in the stands, I mean, he would be suspended, fined, probably, you know, they'd be calling for his job.
Well, I wish Kyle Lowry showed great restraint.
He did.
But, he should have beat his ass.
There you go. There you go. There's the beating. So.
It would have been great. It would have been justice.
Yeah.
Like, what, these people, like, I know you're a wealthy man. God bless. All right? That doesn't give you the right to make yourself the story.
No.
You're not the player.
Right.
Drake, you're not the player.
Right.
Like, these stupid clowns, watch the game. You want to cheer and go crazy? That's fine.
Yeah.
But stay out of with the play. Like,
right.
All they want to do is interact with the players, because you know why? Because they want to be a part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to make themselves, they're just glommers. They want to make themselves the story. Like, they want to have, they want their own stuff. Like, stop.
You know, it was surprising to me the number of stories that came that had nothing to do with the game. That came out of that not only that interaction between Lowry and the minority owner, whatever they call them, investor, what the hell, because he could do away with the owner title, I don't know.
Right.
But the whole Beyonce thing and all that other stuff, all these stories that came, and you're overlooking the fact that Toronto just is doing something that really no one, including myself, thought was going to happen. You're handling the Warriors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it really is amazing. It really is amazing. But this Mark Stevens, and that's his name. He's a he's such a loser. Man. For a guy that's that wealthy, you show some dignity,
exactly.
Show some pride. Like, yeah. go be in a box, or if you want to sit with the fans, and I applaud that. Then stay with the fans and stay out of the players' faces.
Yeah. Don't touch anybody. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? He should have been banned for life.
Well, I don't think banned for life was warranted.
I would have banned for life.
I would take his courtside privileges away and, like I said, put him in a booth. You can't stay courtside. But I wouldn't say banned for life.
Actually, I would offer him a choice: banned for life, or you get a beating.
Everything you want to do is a beating. You've got some hostility, some issues,
fellas. All right, 8 o'clock in the East, 5 o'clock in the West, fellas. On Fox, Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit Geico.com for a free rate quote. They're talking a lot about the Raptors. Game 4 victory last night. Kawhi, 36. He was incredible. The defense limits Golden State to 92. 92 points. They clamp down second half. The big quarter this time, the Raptors won the third quarter, unlike game 2. When it was Golden State outscoring the Warriors 37-21 in the third quarter. They hold Golden State to 46 in the second half. And be honest with you, it wasn't even a game in the fourth quarter.
Nope.
It was quite the impressive performance yet again. Yet again from this team. The Raps. Kawhi, just outrageous. He big shots, great defense. He hits 5 threes. He's 11 for 22 from the field, 12 boards. I mean, he was sensational. Surge, 9 for 12 from the field, 20 points. Smells like feet. Good off the bench again, 8, 6, 4. Siakam, 19.
Lowry, I got to be impressed, man. Leadership. I mean, I got to say I'm impressed mostly when it comes to Kawhi, the fact that he plays both sides. And he's done it all his career, and I'm not lessening it. It's just even more impressive to see the performance. You know, that stretch last night where he came down and threw up two threes back-to-back and so nonchalant. They put themselves on top and sort of took all over the game in the second half from that point. I respect the fact that Kawhi does it on both sides, offensively and defensively. To exude that type of energy night in and night out, especially during this run, has been very, very fun to watch.
Yeah, really has been. Been a blast, really.
Yeah, true story.
Been a blast to watch, man. A lot of fun. So, anyway, a big night. Now the Raptors have a stranglehold in the series. I mean, they were a huge underdog, and they've been an underdog in every game of the series. It's pretty impressive. To watch we the North. And we've been talking a lot this morning about the future of Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And how he could possibly leave Toronto after winning a championship. Isn't that sound crazy?
Yeah. Stranger things have happened these days. Kids, man, just don't know what to make of these kids.
I know. I know. I mean,
you're
weird. Well, he's weird. He's a weirdo. I mean, nothing wrong with it. He's just a, you know, the interviews. You see him in the interviews afterwards. You know, and again, that doesn't make it's not a bad thing. It's just
no.
He's odd, man.
He is different.
He is extremely different. Come on, dude. What's wrong with you, man? Show a purse down. Bizarre all the way. But what a great, great player he is. Just amazing. It'd be interesting to see where everybody goes. Lots of talk this week about what happens. So does Kawhi go to the Clippers?
Mm-hmm.
Does KD go to New York? You heard Charles. Charles says no. He doesn't have the personality for New York, and he would get eaten alive by the New York media. What do you think of that, Link?
Oh, man, you know what? I think there's so much pressure on anybody who goes to New York has to realize that for whatever it's worth, the media wants to make New York relevant in any capacity. So there's going to be pressure on anyone. Doesn't matter who it is. They want to become viable again. The East is just that good. It's not going to happen overnight. Even if they sign megastars. I mean, because, you know, we were talking about the Clippers. Well, the Nets are making a situation or making moves to be able to do a couple supermax deals for a couple players. But are they really going to be, you know, are they going to be on the map? Are people going to notice them? Or is it still New York, the Knicks show?
Yeah. That's a great point. Listen, we were talking about how odd Kawhi is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. Hey, Kawhi, you could be bringing home a title to Canada. So take a listen to Kawhi talking about the concept of bringing an NBA title to Canada.
If the Raptors win the NBA title, what do you think this will mean for Canada and the Toronto Raptors? You've already won with the San Antonio Spurs. You've seen the way it impacted that community. What do you think this will do for Canada?
They're going crazy after the Eastern Conference Finals, and I don't know, there's no telling. You got to ask probably like somebody that's in Canada, I've been living in Canada for a while, but I mean, I know they're going to be super excited. I don't know. We'll see.
What? Eric, you're so right.
Man, I listened to that. It was cringeworthy, dude. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You can't put together like just your generic vanilla, oh, it means a lot. You know, you can't play the play the hits kind of answer. Ask somebody who's been in Canada. Bro, you've been there for a year.
Hey, someone who's been in Canada. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, but I don't live there. I live across the border, and I just commute to Canada when I need to play. And then...
He is just a freak.
I saw a tweet go by yesterday, guys, about... it's like, what if Kawhi just goes home and his family doesn't even know he's an NBA player? Like, just how was work? He's like, oh, it was good.
Oh, that's great.
So that was good.
That's a great story. Could you imagine, like, you'd have this guy. Wait a second, Dad, that's Daddy on TV.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Such a weirdo. It's crazy. He totally, that would be awesome. Where he lived his double life, NBA star, and then, you know, just regular dad.
Come out to Hollywood with that script, and I'm sure that somebody will pick that up real quick.
That's good. That's a good premise. That's good thinking. Good looking out by you, bro. I love it, E-Rob. Meanwhile, it is just so strange to have this whole thing. It's amazing. Amazing story. All right, so I do want to get into this hour, and we have the four coming up. And I'll give you the questions straight ahead. But I want to tackle the officiating this hour.
Oh.
So we've had issues. I mean, obviously, everybody remembers the Saints. What Eric was talking about earlier, the NHL playoffs were riddled with mistakes.
Yeah. Right.
Bad mistakes. And, you know, look, the NBA, I think those guys are pretty good. You know, they hang, they huddle together. They look for help if they don't see it. So by and large, I think they're pretty good. Football, hockey, even baseball. Is it time there's just a referee in the press box?
Well, you basically have that now. For the most part, I mean, look, I actually feel bad for officiating.
No, literally, the guy up in the booth is making, yeah, up in the box is making a call.
I mean, you have the NFL trying to do to make its amends for what happened in the playoffs, and you know, we've covered sports pretty much or been a part of sports our entire life, and we've seen missed calls. We've seen them on some big stages, you know, before. I think in this day and age, with everything becoming as grand and as big as it is, I mean, we watch games on, you know, 70, 80-foot screens, you know, 80 inches, whatever the measurement is, size, sure, screens. And we see everything in full color. It's almost like we're there. The fans just want to see you get it right. But there are such egregious errors. It's also part of the human, you know, the faulty concept. But there are times where you just want to get it right. Well, how come it's not reviewable? Well, we're coming to a point where everything's going to be reviewable. I mean, or you want everything to be reviewable. There's no case in human error. My point is this: we as fans and patrons of the games deserve to see it the right call made, deserve to have it right, to call it fairly on both sides. We've seen like an NBA where, you know, they get physical, they allow physical play. They allow certain things to happen where it might have been called a foul in earlier times or earlier part of the season. And you just want them to get it right. And I don't know how you achieve that if you don't take it out of human error, the human hands, the human side of it. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great point. I guess, you could have the guy upstairs and he just looks down and, you know, he's got the monitors and he's got replay and everything there. If everything's about getting it right, you have the official up in the booth, up in the box. But I hear you. It's the only thing I can think of.
I was just thinking that we sit there. I've watched games, even NBA games, where guys are calling for fouls after every time they shot. That was a foul. The calling, you know, I got Draymond Green getting in the ref's hands, getting a technical, a ref's face. I don't know how you do it with
the
human.
He walks a tightrope, don't he?
Jeez. He does, and I think he enjoys it.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. All right, we'll give you the questions for the four and all things pointing toward perhaps an 18-game schedule. Oh, please, God. We're the fellas. I got crickets out of you?
I'm not commenting right now because it's too big of a subject to talk about in 10 seconds. So we're going to wait for the other side. You already know.
18 games? Please say it so, fellas on Fox.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it? Covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
The fellas. I'm Lakey Kennedy. He's Anthony Gargano, my brother from another mother. We're brought to you by Discover. Discover alerts you if they find your Social Security number on any of one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. Cuz got you if you're just joining us. The last segment, cuz is getting geared up because there's rumors circulating that the NFL is going to go to an 18-game schedule. I already know
what's
going to happen. They're going to do away with two preseason games.
You think so, you said?
Oh, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yes! If it doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen by, what, 2022, it'll definitely happen. It'll be a part of the new CBA.
Rejoice.
So.
Do they do the double bye like I want and run the season into March?
No, it's not going to go that long. They're going to take away two preseason games, which
why would you start in August?
Well, the thing is that
that makes no sense. Play in February. Yeah, people care.
Well, You just want football in February.
I do.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's too hot to play for those guys.
And it's too cold to play in February.
Nah, it's football's cold man's game.
Sometimes.
Well, it's supposed to be a happy balance. Is there anything better than a snow game? People love the snow game.
I never wanted snow, so I don't love it. No, I never.
No, I get it, but we're not talking about you as a player. We're talking about the
consumer. No, I'm just saying the fans. I mean, it depends on what it is. I mean, there have been times where we've seen it was snowing so much, it was snowing so heavy, it deterred, it took away from the game a little bit. Let's go back. What was it? The Shady went off. It was Buffalo.
Bills Colts.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, it kind of took a little bit away from the game. It was fun, interesting to see how it happened. But in this high pace, you know, time that we are, when you have to slow down and run the ball, some people deem that boring, or you know, not as exciting.
No. how could that be not exciting?
Fog bowl. Remember, you know, the Bears and Eagles couldn't see the field.
Yeah, but that was fog. That wasn't snow.
Bad weather.
That was because temperatures were warmer. And the fog came.
I know how fog happens. I'm just saying it's just some bad games. Yeah. But you know, here's the thing. You're going to see it. And it's going to go to an 18-game schedule. This is why I think it's going to happen after the CBA. Because what needs to be negotiated and discussed is they're going to have to increase roster sizes. They want to go to less preseason.
See, I want to pay the players extra, too. Give them a big piece of the pie.
Well, that's part of it.
They get the 19 checks. Mm-hmm.
Double bye, baby.
Let's play in March. Mm-mm. Think about it, though. Between domes and temperate climates, where it's going to be cold? You got the Giants and the Jets.
Yeah.
You got the Eagles.
Green Bay, Chicago,
Denver.
Yep.
And that's really it.
Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo. Thank you. Yeah. Pittsburgh, 8.
Mm-hmm. New England.
New England, 9.
Talking about, you know, raining cats and dogs in Seattle.
Yeah, I guess it could be called Carolina.
Yeah. Forgot about Carolina.
D.C.
Yeah, there you are.
You know, could be a little chilly.
Philadelphia. You mentioned Philadelphia, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Tennessee, a little bit, I guess.
Shoot, that game, it wasn't snowing, but it was frigidly cold.
Did we say Cleveland?
We didn't say Cleveland or Cincinnati, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, see, there you go. Almost half the teams.
That's nice. Let's take an informal poll. So, are you against it or for it?
I'm against playing into March. I don't mind. The 18-game schedule is going to happen. They're going to take two preseason.
How could you like playing the game in the second week, the third week of August, starting the season? What sense does that make?
Because I believe that the NFL is missing out by not using Labor Day to have their big kickoff weekend or big, you know, part of it, and however they do it, whether they start the season a little bit later or a week later or a week earlier. I think Labor Day weekend should be a big part of it, because I can honestly see that them using the starting off on Thursday, then having Sunday and Monday, you know, games when they're holidays, and they can use it to get people in the stadiums on the big weekend.
Yeah, listen, I'm all right with Labor Day weekend, but like, to me, I like that for college. But if you want to do it for the NFL, whatever, fine. But here's the thing. You're still going to add 2 weeks on the back end.
Not if you take two preseason games away.
Well, you're starting the season on Labor Day.
That's 1 week earlier than they do it now, right? Because they don't play on Labor Day.
Right, it's 1 week earlier.
So,
and you would add two games and another bye week, the double bye. So that would mean you would have two extra weeks left over.
Well, I'm not big on the double bye. You keep the push. I mean, I guess logistically, you figure out the numbers. You probably start what? Into the second week of August? Is that what you're saying? Or?
Well, yeah. I think.
Second Sunday?
You're starting. I wouldn't start. I mean, you're going to start Labor Day weekend,
mm-hmm.
And then you'll have two extra weeks that you tack on at the end. So the Super Bowl would be the end of February.
Shoot, I'd go back to the 1 week between the championship games. Do away with the Pro Bowl.
Well, I still don't understand the argument. Why not February? Think about this for 1 second. From a TV standpoint, we just mentioned all the cold cities, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, all you got is California, Florida, and like, you know, Southern parts States, of, yeah, like Arizona a little bit, yeah, maybe a little right. Texas, but it's still cold in Texas. What do you think people want to do in February?
Watch basketball. Turn the page. They're going indoors.
No, they want to watch football. they want to see football. They want to see it. They love football. The top 20 shows on network television last calendar year were all football.
Well, you turn the page. February is my warm-up month for college basketball. I'm getting ready for March Madness. I need to pay attention to championship series.
I know you say
that's
it
just me.
Year.
I'm just saying that
you
mean, we're taking the informal poll. I mean, it is what it is.
All right.
I think that you know, the football season is sacred. It should end in January. At the end
E-Rob.
Of January, but that's what we're doing.
Where do you stand on this, E-Rob?
I'm always down for more football, but I'm not down for it to like water down the product. If people start dropping like flies, getting hurt, you know, longer season, stuff like that, that would suck.
Well, but you're expanding the rosters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but still, expand the rosters. Is there going to be talent to expand the rosters, you know, stuff like that? I mean, I'm down for more football, but yeah, there is definitely weather constraints. I mean, I'm on the boat where, you know, this how the MLB season has kind of shifted with all these rainouts. I mean, I get more annoyed at that than anything. So I'm when inclement weather gets in the way, kind of sucks. But I mean, football, you kind of play through it, and that's the lore. But exactly, I mean, what would that entail for players, player safety, stuff like that? I know there's tons of hurdles, but I'm always down for more football.
I'm glad because more football means bliss. Chris, are you in favor of bliss?
Kinda, but again, like I need the right assurances there. I think 53-man roster is just way too small.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. You get the expanded rosters and we get more money.
Well, I mean, it's everything else that football needs right now too, as far as like you need a developmental league somewhere, some way to make sure guys step on the field and prepared for it. I mean, it's more football. I'm just kind of not sure. You mentioned the times where you would put it, because I'm not sure where you would really put those two games. Either you put it in August, as you know, and risk kind of hotter temperatures. I remember, you know, Lions. I was covering Lions opening in Chargers a few years ago, and it was so hot in the field that, you know, some of the guys I heard had like some of the old rubber from the AstroTurf sticking on their shoes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like Lambeau is already really, really, really cold, and you have people going there for the playoffs, risking, you know, life-threatening frostbite.
There's no life-threatening frostbite.
Yeah, I mean,
technology, yeah.
Especially once people get themselves on some of the alcohol at those games too, then it gets like really, really frightening. But just with that too, like I think Kennedy said it too, like March is for March Madness. You're going to start encroaching on that if you put them near the end of the year.
Football is king, Chris.
You see what
I love? I love football, but I'm just saying, like it seems like a conundrum on where you would even start to put
there's
them.
No conundrum. What conundrum? What do you watch? Which sports is going on in February?
Basketball.
Yeah. Okay. And
indoor sports?
First of all, you have usually run the All-Star game in both NBA and NHL happens in February.
There you go.
Both teams. There you go. They have breaks. The All-Star breaks.
You're also going to probably need an extra bye week in there, too, for an 18-game
schedule.
Don't
encourage them, Chris. No, yes, you are putting it. You're right. Double bye. And we run this season through February, and Super Bowl's the end of February. Like, I don't understand. Like, most people in March are looking for something to watch in February. They're like dying. Like, oh my God, now you give them football? You just made all these people happy. I'm trying to make people happy. I'm trying to get them to. I'm a fact. You know what those bleak winners do. Those bleak winners, their suicide rate goes up. I'm saving lives.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. No, you didn't.
Yes. I'm saving lives, man, by through football. It's bleak.
Nope.
What am I going to do?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
I'm saving lives.
So instead of seasonal depression, it's off-seasonal depression.
Right. It's right. Sad. There it's a go. Real thing. It's a real thing. Sad. Now with football, not sad. No seasonal affective disorder.
Oh, my.
Unsad.
We don't public appreciate your jokes, old man.
We got football. I know if there's one person that would agree with me in this shabby panel, it would be the one, the only football man himself, Fig.
Now, football is my favorite sport, Anthony, and I'll get to the trending in a second, but I don't know if I can get with you on this one. I subscribe to the theory of absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think one reason why the NFL is so popular is because it's so scarce that there's only 16 weeks with the additional postseason.
If it's 18 weeks, you're going to miss it just the same.
Maybe. But, I mean, I just don't think it's – is it really necessary, though?
Oh, my God.
Let's be honest. How?
What are you watching in February? Is there anything good?
Well, I like the NBA and college basketball. No, I do. I'm being legitimately honest. I'm one of the few people that still watches regular season college basketball.
All right, listen.
So that doesn't bother me.
I like it too, all right? But let's be real. It's not football.
I mean, people complained about the end of the NFL season as it is. The last, week 13, 14, 15, guys get hurt. All these games don't matter. Why is this trash game on Thursday night?
I'm trying to give you a check.
A lot of teams that are just like completely out of it. Playing out the string. Taken out. Yeah.
Oh, my God, you people. You're such ingrates.
But, I mean, am I wrong, though, Anthony? I mean, there are times at the end of the season where there are literally four games on the schedule that matter. So we're going to add a couple.
That's not true.
I think it's very true.
Four games? A lot of time, and only the last week, most of the time, all the games matter.
All of them?
Most of the games, they do. Most of these games matter. You have your donkeys, but most of them matter.
Monday
right up
football.
Until the end. Last year, half the games meant something, the playoff season.
Last year, yes, I'll give you that.
Last Monday Night Football with an unflexed, four-win Lions team against
the 5-win
Carolina.
Just watch it and shut up. What more do you want? You don't like it? You like why it's bad? Football's bad.
There is a such thing as bad football, Anthony. Yes,
I watch the Canadian Football League. There is absolutely such things as bad football.
It does exist.
Oh my God!
I watched the AAF the first couple of weeks.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Am I alone on this? I'm alone. Oh my God! I need to go to the phones. I'm opening up the phone lines.
I want good product. I don't want to just have
Oh, really? You know what? I want crap football. How about that? I want a good product.
You go. There's. I can get you hooked up with some bad football. There's plenty of international American football.
Let me tell you something. If you go back and look at last year, you found good football in the last 2 weeks of the season. You did. I'm not saying every game was good, but you found good football. Now, it's not my fault that you guys obviously don't like the sport. And Link is burnt out. So, just so happens you're bad fans. 877-99 on Fox. 877-99 on Fox. I need help. What do these guys don't get? What don't they get? I'm giving them 3 more weeks of football, and they're saying no. Are you saying no? What do you got to do in February? What's good in February? What are you watching in February that beats football? And I'm sorry, Michigan State and Minnesota basketball doesn't compare to NFL football.
Michigan State and Purdue does.
Not to NFL football.
Just messing with you.
Take it away, Fig.
All right. NBA basketball, the NBA finals are on right now. The defending champs are on the brink of elimination. They suffer a 105-92 loss to Toronto on Friday. Kawhi Leonard, 36 points, leading the Raptors. Serge Ibaka at 20 off the bench. Fran VanVleet also at 8. That was all the scoring off of the Raptor bench. That's all they needed. GSW Hoops committing 17 turnovers, missed 7 free throws in the loss. They now face a 3-1 series deficit as the series shifts back to Toronto. Raptors can clinch the first title in franchise history with a win in Game 5 on Monday. After the French Open, the marathon continues in the men's semifinal between Dominic Thiem and Novak Djokovic. The players and fans have left the court. The rain has begun to fall, so play in this match has been suspended yet again. Currently, Djokovic with a lead. He won the fourth set 7-5. Thiem currently has a 4-1 lead in the fifth set. Baseball on Friday, Clayton Kershaw lost a game for the first time since last July. The Giants beat the Dodgers 2-1. Fernando Tatis Jr. had 3 hits and a home run in his second game back for the Padres. They beat the Nationals 5-4. Seattle hammered the Angels 6-2. Astros with a walk-off win over Baltimore. Zach Plesac, the nephew of Dan Plesac, shutting down the Yankees for the 5-2 victory for the Cleveland Indians. We'll get back to the fellas in seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Back to Lincoln Kennedy and Mr. Football, Anthony Gargano.
877-996-6369.
Lead it to the masses, huh?
Is how you reach us. I would open up the phone lines.
I want to find out if I'm crazy. Now, you got
to
phrase the argument correctly, okay? Because you're talking about a double bye, starting the season later and pushing it into March, basically.
No, listen. That's my own neurosis. Forget it. What I said was, and we agreed, you start it Labor Day. I would prefer to keep it as is and just tack 3 weeks on at the end. I don't see why that's a big deal. In fact, I don't see why you guys don't want it. Chris is talking about, what are you doing in February, Chris?
I'm switching over to European soccer.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
I will not.
I have to be here for a few more hours.
I can't leave.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're like Kawhi Leonard. You're an alien. I mean, it's fine. But you're going to compare the NFL to European soccer.
Technically, Premier League, I think, is bigger worldwide, but, I mean, yeah.
We live in the United States!
Which is part of the whole Earth. Or something. I don't know. I like football, too.
I'm not against it. You are. You are. You know why? You're one of these sports fans I hate. All right? I do. I hate sports fans like you. Hate them.
I'm just thinking.
Oh, well, soccer is worldwide. Well, what's that? It doesn't matter if it's worldwide. Football's better. All right? It's a better sport. It's a more compelling sport. It's a better sport. I don't care that soccer's worldwide. I don't like soccer. It's fine. It's a lovely game. Basketball's lovelier, but that's okay. It's a nice game. But just because there's more people playing it doesn't make it better than football. Football is the greatest sport ever. I got nothing. What, I got crickets? And you sit there too, E-Rob. I don't even get nothing from you.
That's the way we're going.
You're the J.O. You got nothing. Hey. Nothing. This is what I'm down to.
No?
I switch over to European. Oh, good for you, dude. I'll tell you what. Go move to Pamplona and enjoy yourself with La Liga.
That would actually be pretty nice to move to Pamplona. I'm not going to lie.
See ya.
You okay, cuz?
No, I'm not. I got to get Jeremy in North Carolina. Jeremy, please save me, Jeremy. What is wrong with these dudes?
Man, I don't know what's wrong with these guys. I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with more football. They want to make the excuse about, the games at the end of the year don't matter. I watched that Raiders game against Denver on Monday night toward the end of the season, and that was a hell of a game. A lot of emotions running high on there. It was a fun game to watch.
Granted, I'm a Raiders guy,
but still, I mean, football is football. Football is king. It's better than any other sport out there. The pageantry and the drama that goes along with it.
Yes!
You just don't get it from any other sport. You know, I love college basketball too. I'm down here on Tobacco Road. I love college basketball.
Yeah, so do I. I'm with you.
But you know, we
can have both. Right, like, yeah. This is not to say you can't have college basketball, because we can have that during the week as well. And we have football, NFL on weekends. Is that okay?
I'm with you. All you're talking about is extending extending a couple of weeks into the season.
That's
you
it.
You can back it up a week. You can extend it a week. You know, start a week earlier, into a week or two later, and we're still all good. But, man, I'm with you.
Bless you.
I'm all for
Thank you. So, you're the man, Jeremy. Thank you, my brother. Some sane people on the earth. I take Lincoln out of it because Lincoln, this is his job, his vocation.
Hey, I love football like the next person. I just don't.
You gave your life to it. It's a different. Yeah. The whole thing's different. I set you aside.
Well,
I got horns for.
Hey, I have skin into the game. I produce an NFL broadcast, so if anything, I should be for it. It'd be more money in my pocket.
I cover an NFL team as a side.
So I'm just saying, I don't think 2 extra weeks is necessary. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the sport now. So what's wrong with it where it is?
You and Chris can go and go Liverpool. All right, you guys can
more
go
of a man, you guy, but all right,
because. You know, it's
yeah. I'd
it's
rather
so much better than
Spain or Italy.
It's so much better than the NFL, because the world watches. Oh, I hate that. Hate it. I miss the ramblings of Iowa Sam right now. Unbelievable. 877. I'm joking, Chris. So don't cry. All right, just messing around with you. 877-996-6369, 877-99-ALL-FOX. Ask Lincoln about, or Figgy about my tone. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
We're the fellas. I need your help. No football. Do you believe this? No football? This is what these guys are? This is what the world's coming to? I'm out.
At Farmers Insurance, we know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing. And a less than perfect one. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Fellas, Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano. Astounding day. I'm stunned. Anti-football people here. I mean, it's like I'm offering people a check and they don't want to cash it.
Not the violence.
I say, here, poor souls. Here, take some more football.
Please, sir. Please. Can I have more football, please?
And they say no. Now, we'll take Bundesliga. What is it? What's the German league?
Is it?
I'd buy that for $1.
they want European soccer over the NFL.
Wow.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. Is it now passé? To
no.
like football? Is that no. what it is now?
No.
Is
no,
it passé
no.
to like, love football?
I just don't like eating the same meal every day. Eventually, I'm going to want to buy something other than eggs and bacon.
You know, the more you speak, the more I hate you. He just said he invoked the meal, the same meal. I'm talking about adding 3 more weeks to the season.
Serious question, though. Like, with a sport
like Premier
that
League runs for how long, Holmes?
Way too long.
Yeah.
That's why I always jump in halfway.
I don't understand you. You jump into You love the Premier League, but you jump in halfway?
I don't love it. It's just something I like watching every now and then. I like variety. I watch sumo wrestling, too.
Yeah.
Not as more than football, but I mean, I just find things to watch.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But do you think a sport with as much hype that goes into its downtime, with as much excitement that we build up through the draft or through off-season coverage or free agency, do you think a sport would... I mean, people want more football, sure, but I think people also want that time to get excited about potential rather than
It's 3 weeks. You got the whole rest of the off-season. That's it. You're out in 3 weeks. Three stinking weeks. Three Sundays. I don't understand. You act like I'm out in 2 months. I'm out in 3 weeks. To already short season. Basketball and hockey and baseball run forever. I'm only talking about three measly weeks. Fred, God help me.
What do you say, mis hermanos?
Hermano, I am lost, hermano.
Because I had to call because when my brother is suffering, I need to come and support him.
I'm suffering.
I had to put the phone up to my heart so they could hear the crack of my heart breaking with this anti-football talk. Now, I'll exempt Link because he is a three-time Pro Bowler and College Football Hall of Famer. Like, I'll let him slide. But everybody else, are you out of your mind? First and foremost, we're talking about three viewing days of the 3 weeks. So it's not like we're taking over the entire week. We're talking about just three more days when they don't even play the games that these other guys want to watch. Second, he's talking about food. If you want to turn your back to surf and turf because, you know, you want variety, you go ahead. Give me football.
I'll get some
football.
Sushi every now and then.
Give it to me all, cuz. And
I hate him. I hate him.
I can't.
I do.
My heart hurts. My heart hurts.
I know.
And when
I know,
hurt
Fred.
My brother, cuz, I got to step in. This is awful.
Thank you, brother. I so appreciate it, Freddie. You have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to try to muddle on for the last hour of the program. I don't know, Link. You might. I'm about to weep. I love you, Arlo, but I did not lose yet. Fellas, Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano. A beaten Anthony Gargano, but not out, not done. From the Geico, Fox Sports Radio Studios, 15 minutes. Could save you 15% or more in car insurance. Just visit geico.com for a free rate quote. The big story, however, today. Of course, your Toronto Raptors. The Raps were incredible last night. They, that third quarter, a dominant piece, unlike game two, where it was the Warriors who had all the success in the third quarter. This time it was Toronto. This time that defense that they played clamped down on Golden State. And they went periods without scoring. They opened up the lead, and that was basically it. And Kawhi Leonard, oddball that he is one game away from winning a title and securing himself. He's the best player right now, and he'll finally get all-time status with the win, don't you think, Link?
Yeah, he'll be definitely be anointed because I think he goes. They win it. I think he gets MVP, and most definitely the run that he's had throughout this playoffs. I think he's put himself up there as the best player in the game.
Yeah, he gets all time status. He does. Yeah. I agree with you. Anointed is a good word.
Yeah.
It's funny because there always seemed to be. Oh, it was LeBron and Durant. And then it was like a little gap. Like, yeah, Kobe before that, before he retires. And now all of a sudden, and Kawhi was always like close to the mix, even when he was in San Antonio, winning in San Antonio. But this is more impressive, not right?
Well, I mean, I think what's more impressive is that you see this run put together. I think when you have the finals, you're able to showcase your talents more than ever, and that's why Kevin Durant over the last couple of years has been able to do it. I mean, we already knew he was a good player, but it's what he's doing on both sides of the court that puts him over the top. More importantly, it's what he's done throughout this playoffs. You mentioned the series against Philadelphia. I think that resonates with a lot of people, that game seven winner that he's had. And then you talk about his play. He's been unstoppable.
It was outrageous, that play. Outrageous. That shot was a shot that broke my heart, but it was what a shot.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal the whole series.
Yeah.
Remember that series. Game one, Pascal Siakam has a great game. 35. Agreed. After that, he disappeared. He was milk carton.
Yeah. Kawhi took over. And I could not believe the level in which he played, because he plays both sides of the court very well and very hard. He plays offense and defense. And I just saw an exhausted, I think it was game one, even though they won, or that series against the Bucks. That's where game one in that series, where he was just exhausted. He was you could see it. He was just worn out. And I didn't think they had the capacity to come back and win four straight against the Bucks like they did. But You know, they're on a tear right now.
Yeah, they are, man. They really are. They are on a tear, just absolutely tremendous. My God, they're amazing. I gotta tell you, they're and you know, again, there are reports, at least Jalen Rose said the workouts for Kevin Durant did not go well. And so it looks kind of doubtful that he's going to play. If he does, it's Monday night. Klay, you figures, rested up and in better shape. He played well last night, looked good. Steph gets rest. What do you think?
Here's the thing. I'm not saying – I think the Warriors do have a shot to win another one, but I think the series, the title is definitely going to go to Toronto. What has most impressed me, other than the offensive efforts in Kawhi Leonard or the total game of Kawhi Leonard, is that the defense, they've found a formula to nullify what the Warriors do well. Now, trying to explain it on radio is a little bit difficult, but whether it's extended the defense or taking the ball out of Steph's hands – I know you've got a dual threat, but Klay's not 100%, and so you're going to need help. And even last night, when you had both of Steph and Klay put up 20-plus points, and you had Draymond contributing, it's just not enough because they were still held under 100, so they need more help. Now, in the middle of the season or the beginning of the season, when you looked at this thing on paper, they had five All-Stars at each position. So how would you ever deny that they were going to win or not win this is going to be a championship? But those five All-Stars have not played collectively together in this series, and most notably, Durant's been out. Durant single-handedly, in my opinion, well, not single-handedly, but most of the work won the Houston series. If they didn't have him there, they wouldn't have won that series, in my opinion. So Portland's not on their level. They just outran Portland. But, you know, Durant is one of those fixtures that they need his contribution, and they need it on a big level in order for them to be viable or to even challenge for these last three games. And I don't see how it's going to happen. Mm-mm. I think he's going to be rusty, even if he does come back on Monday.
Yeah, I agree with you, bro. I do. I kind of think the same thing. By the way, just off the series, because like you look at that team and you're right, like who can you really count on other than the big four? Who do you really count on?
Well, the bench is not deep. You have contributions from Cook and other guys, but it's not enough. I mean, let's face it. Even when Steph tried to take over, what was it, game three? When he tried to do everything he could to win it, he just didn't have enough help. He couldn't do it. He pushed himself to where he ran out of steam for the last game, even though he had, 26 or 27 points. Can't remember off the top of my head, you know?
Now, where is – it's funny because I heard something this week that I was flabbergasted by. Absolutely flabbergasted. Andre Iguodala, Hall of Fame.
What? No?
No.
No. Really?
No. Capital N-O.
Wow.
You think he's Hall of Fame?
I'm a little on the fence. I think he... Here, and the reason why is because I think he reinvented himself when he went from, what, Denver to the Warriors. Because I think he became a more reliable player in the capacity in which they had him in.
He was a fourth, fifth player on that team. Yeah, like he had the one great series. He had the MVP in the finals.
But he's been playing consistent well since his time with it.
Yeah, he's a good ball player. He's not a Hall of Fame. Like, why are we cheap in the Hall of Fame?
Because they put everybody in?
It's horrible. It's like this Donovan McNabb talk for Hall of Fame.
Oh, well.
Donovan, I mean, I wouldn't build him. I wouldn't allow him in the porta potty of the Hall of Fame. Again, I'm not saying he stinks. He's a good quarterback. He's not Hall of Fame.
I mean, he did say he had better numbers than Troy Aikman.
Yeah. Talk about Mr. Hollow. He's those numbers that he put up as hollow as a chocolate Easter bunny. Hey, were we kidding?
No.
You know, like, to me.
But you don't think there's a compelling? There's a little bit of a.
No, not even. No? Put it this way. I think McNabb's closer to the Hall of Fame than Iguodala.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, like if it was a choice and I was going to have to die or go to La Liga with Chris. Mm-hmm. And I had to pick one or the other, I would pick McNabb.
Wow.
Well,
Iguodala. What does he do that's Hall of Fame? Like, he's a good defender. There's been better. He's a streaky shooter. What else does he do?
Look, I think there have been times where they've counted on him to get it done, and he's been there. He's been that. He's part of a perfect... Not a perfect. He's part of an ideal situation, the team that he's on. And I think he found a place. Other than the Sixers, you know, when I watched him when he first came into the league and all the hype that was around him with the Sixers and saw him when he was doing in a Denver Nuggets uniform.
There was no hype with the Sixers. Trust me, man. I was right there.
He was
miscast as like lead player. He couldn't shoot.
No. But I'm talking about
and
the
he was
hype.
Another guy afraid to go to the foul line because he couldn't shoot free throws. Listen, he turned out to be a good ball player. I'm not saying and in this goofy world where if you say someone's not in the Hall of Fame or not Hall of Fame worthy, you're criticizing them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's
like, he's a good ball player. Yeah. That's what he is. A Hall of Fame special. Yeah. Like, you know. You got LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Like, that's Hall of Fame.
Agree.
Andre Iguodala, you know, I don't even know if he would make Arizona's Hall of Fame.
Oh. There are some guys that I thought on the fence of that people have argued, you know, saying that they were definite. I was like,
same thing in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Like, like Warren Sapp, he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, don't get me started on that one. You already know where
I
am.
Think
on
I
that
pulled
one.
That out of my rear end?
I know. Good player. That's just all right.
Is he a Hall of Famer in your eyes? Mm-hmm. Just say it. Hell,
nope.
No. Repeat after me. Hell, no. Andre Iguodala, Hall of Fame. You got to be kidding me. Next thing you know, you're telling me that soccer is better than football.
I didn't say that. I just
and
don't
by
want to
the
go
way, basketball is more beautiful than soccer. How about that?
You just can't leave it alone.
No, the kid irked me. Completely irked me.
See what happens, Lebowski?
You know, I'm not saying it's not a nice, it's a good sport. Well, let's be real here. You know, we're talking about NFL. And basketball's way prettier than soccer. Way more elegant. Wouldn't you agree? You're quiet. Like, you agree, right? Don't you?
Look, I love basketball. I do love soccer. I'm not going to be on that boat right there because I'm not going to talk. I'm not talking about soccer.
I've never made this a one versus the other either. I'm not talking bad about it.
I'm not talking bad about this.
I love basketball. It's my favorite sport of all, and it was my first love, and it always will be. But I do love soccer. I do enjoy the pageantry of soccer.
Okay, whatever.
the greatest thing, the best is you
did make it one against the other when you chose soccer over football.
I knew it was coming. You chose European
soccer over football. That's when you lined it up.
After spending 5 months of every of my weekends, and to be clear, I go hard on Saturday too. So at that point, I am feeling fatigued.
You watch two whole games on Saturday?
No, I used to watch. God, back, a few years ago, I used to be watching almost 12 hours straight because I would stay up to watch the Hawaii game on Saturday. Lincoln,
does he know who he's talking to?
No, he's new to the game.
I know.
Mr. Football. Cuz doesn't sleep from Thursday to Sunday during football season.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, he's getting on me just because I'm not sure if two extra games will go.
You don't want them. I want them.
Again, it's like I'm giving
you.
I want to be
good. It's like I'm giving you a check and you don't want to cash it. Well, it's like, wow, really?
I just want to make sure the checks ain't going to bounce. It's like real
green. We're the fellas. Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano, that's Chris, our fine sound engineer. Audio technician. E-Rob's quiet.
I'm just looking up the Women's World Cup schedule we have on Fox this week, guys. really supporting the brand here.
That's nice. We're just talking about
football. Yeah, I got you.
It's Fox about football.
Hey, I would think I was one of the only ones to say I was down for it, by the way, so... Suck it up, brownie points here.
I just needed more of you.
What is that?
Hey, man. He called me on, and I couldn't get on because I was screening a call. I was like, well, now I look like I'm on the bad side, the dark side.
Yeah, I did. I thought you were. You went.
My goodness.
You're anti-football. We'll come back. We're the fellas. You're going to miss us right here on Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it, covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
The segment is brought to you by Discover. Discover alerts you if they find your Social Security number on any of one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/alerts. Limitations apply. He's Anthony Gargano. I'm Lincoln Kennedy. We're joined by the crew. ILO is going to have trending at the bottom of the hour. And, because we were talking heavily about basketball and, of course, football. You know, I think the things that are going to be big, and we talked about it last week on the show with the new collective bargaining agreement, they already began negotiations. The players' union is expecting the possibility of either a lockout or a significant holdout, so they're telling their players to save their money, which is should be noted. It could get a little ugly. When you talk about negotiations, but the NFL is pushing for 18 game season. This is going to happen, regular season and two preseason games. And where we were talking heavily about pushing the season into late in February and sometimes parts of March, extending the season. The truth of the matter is that even though preseasons have become somewhat relevant. They still do not have a league or a way to develop talent. And I think the overall product is hurting.
I still can't believe the NFL, the World League, was disbanded.
Or anything. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. It was costing the owners $1.2 million.
Right.
Each. Now, had they stayed with it, I'm sure they would have gotten their return with – at least some TV.
Oh, yeah.
And if not more than that, they have labor, they have a more of an inroad into Europe.
Well, even more now than ever.
Exactly. They're all about lack of foresight
by
bright men.
Right. Even but the again, AAF, that, you know, that league that came and gone and looked like in just as quickly as it came, it was gone. It still got play. It was on TBS. It was on NBC. I mean, the NFL Network, they had play. They're looking for content. This day, and you've talked about it. You talked about it extensively since I've known you. At this particular time, and no, especially with basketball coming to a close and hockey coming to a close, there are a lot of people who are hungering for sports other than baseball. And so there's a possibility, a number of things that you can do. Football would be one of those welcome ones.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I would redo the sports calendar right now is archaic. Look what the PGA did.
Brilliant.
You know what the PGA did? They said, "Huh, we get the PGA Championship, and nobody really cares about it. It's not a big thing, and it's one of our major events,
right?
And it happens at a time where people are all into football.
Yep,
I know." Let's move it. And then we could have a major in April, mm-hmm. in May, in June, and July.
Correct.
And it worked. Yeah. It was huge. It was big. We talked about it. I mean, that's progressive thinking. So I look at the NBA, it doesn't get more progressive than Adam Silver, right?
Right.
Now, here's what I would do. Does the NBA matter in October or November?
No, not to me.
All right. They start camp preseason games at the end of September.
Right.
And that's absurd. I would run the NBA and open the season Christmas Day.
Now that's when I watch.
All right.
Can't agree with that. I can't disagree with that one.
And I would run the NBA through the summer into August and have the championship in August. Because
that one I can get on board with. I wouldn't mind that.
What in the world do we – listen, I love baseball, but let's be real. These games, they don't really matter. What do they matter? You know, there's a handful of teams that are any good. And, you know, let's see. Like, you know, I like watching Dodgers Phillies last weekend. It was fun. But let's be real. In this day and age, you need stuff to matter. 162, it doesn't work as well as it used to. All right. So what it means is you need something else to go with it. Now, what better than running the playoffs during the summer? It used to be years ago you didn't do that sort of thing because eyeballs were down in the summer. And then they realized that, people love sports so much that it doesn't matter when you put it on. Saturday, they would never show games on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yep.
Now it's different because people go, yeah, we might go out, but now we go out and we watch games while we're out. We go to restaurants with TVs in them.
Good point.
You know, when's the last time you were at a restaurant, fine dining establishment, with no television in the whole place?
Can't imagine. Even the upper echelon steakhouses around the bar have TVs.
Right. Now, you're right. Yeah. Upper echelon steakhouses do. Every once in a blue moon, I'll go to a restaurant where there's no television.
I can't remember.
It's usually like a French or Italian restaurant. Like, I'll go somewhere. And it's a splurge type of evening. So maybe it's once or twice a year. It's a splurge. So it's a treat type of thing. Where the whole thing is about that meal.
Right.
But nowadays, you go to a restaurant. I mean, it's always TVs. TVs everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that's what it is. So you move the NBA. Now, I would start hockey similarly. They're worse than the NBA because the NHL begins before the NBA. Now, if you think they don't care about the NBA until Christmas, why the hell are they going to care about hockey?
That's a good point. I mean, Eric, you're more of the hockey aficionado.
So I would do the same thing. I would start the NHL on Black Friday of Thanksgiving.
What do you think of that?
I would do Black Friday of Thanksgiving as the start of the NHL season.
How much attention do you pay to the early part of the season in hockey?
I mean, well, that's it's well, I mean, so it depends. For me personally, mm-hmm. I mean, the mm-hmm. Dodgers recently have been in some pretty deep runs, so I've mm-hmm. lacked where I have in the past. But I mean, I personally pay as much attention as I do throughout the whole season.
Okay, I see.
Hockey, I think, doesn't have the same thing as NBA. You know, early season stuff doesn't matter. I think there's a lot more emphasis on game one as game 82 in the NHL. That I don't think they have the problem as, like, you know, early on, eyes aren't really paying attention. Usually once the season gets going. For hot, diehard fans, at least.
Yeah, well, the point is, yeah, any diehard fan's going to be
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So, but the point is to make it bigger, to grow it. And again, you know, it's already proven that these playoffs have been awesome. And I know it feels weird playing in June. So if I'm going to start it at the end of November, I'm pushing it back 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. So, I'm basically going to go into July. And that's probably, and I know with ice, nowadays they can do it. It's not a problem with these buildings. But I think it's better for the sport. I just don't think anybody cares about hockey in September, early October.
If it's just hockey shifting, it would help a little bit because, you know, it's going head-to-head with the NBA right now. I mean, it's kind of offset in the finals here as far as, like, when they're playing. But, I mean, when there's other leagues playoffs going on, yeah, sure, NHL, outside of the fact that you get the what, why can't they be this competitive debate every year? But if it was just the hockey season shifting, I mean, yeah, the more eyes would be the better. But
well, in my plan, the NBA goes through August, and the NHL is done in July.
And they would start that Black Friday.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't work. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just think it would be better for the consumer, for us. I mean, it's about time that they have to change the calendar. The calendars, we're different creatures now, and we need more than just John Sterling. Isn't that right, Ilo?
As usual, right you are, Anthony. It's that time once again. But first, we'll recap what happened on Friday night in the NBA Finals, and that would be a 105-92 victory by the Toronto Raptors at Golden State to take a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals behind Kawhi Leonard's 36 points, 5 three-pointers, 12 rebounds, and 4 steals.
We're confident. You know, we're on the road, down 4. We wanted to come in and have a good third quarter, come out the first 5 minutes, stay aggressive on both ends of the floor, keep our energy up. That's all we did.
Kawhi Leonard, wild and crazy during the post-game press conference by his standards and Belichick's. Serge Ibaka, 20 points on 9 of 12 shooting. Off the bench for Toronto. Speaking of the NFL, crazy day off the field on Friday as the Houston Texans stunningly fired general manager Brian Gain just a year and a half into a 5-year contract. Hours later, the Jets finally hired Eagles vice president of player personnel Joe Douglas as their new general manager, with the Texans GM job having suddenly come open. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, good piece of reporting, reported that the Jets' initial offer to Douglas was $1.5 million. He wound up signing for $3 million. The semifinals
wow.
of the... Yeah, there you go. The game behind the
he's
game.
He's a good guy. I know Joe well. He's a really good, sharp GM.
He's got the Anthony Gargano seal of approval, right?
No, yeah. I mean, forget about me. He's a legit, legit football man.
Well, if anybody can turn around the Jets, he'd be a good candidate. Back yeah. underway in the semifinals at the French Open after a weather delay, Novak Djokovic and Dominic Thiem in the fifth set, with Thiem leading Djokovic 4-2. And let's see, what else do we have to get to? Oh, yes, Major League Baseball Friday. Cleveland defeated the Yankees 5-2, but who cares? Because the Yankees got a home run from Aaron Hicks called by our guy.
Swung on and ripped down the right field line. That ball is gone. A line drive home run right down the line. Hicks hits one to the sticks. And the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
Jam Master John Sterling the call on
Hicks.
W.
Hicks one to the sticks.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he needs to start getting a little more creative. We haven't had, like, an outrageous thing that we just laugh at, you know, for, like, 30 seconds afterwards.
Yeah, I agree with you, brother. Yeah. You're right on, man.
Back to the drawing board, Jam Master John Sterling. Speaking of back, let's go back to Anthony Gargano and Lincoln Kennedy. In 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
And guys, just as a reset, because I was riveted to this when I was driving in today, what exactly is the rest of the crew's problem with Anthony's plan for football?
They don't want it, Ilo. They don't want the extra couple weeks. It's like I'm giving them some cash. They don't want the cash.
Is it the fact that they don't want the extra weeks in length or the extra time in February as opposed to on the front end in August? I mean, what's the problem? Is it that it's 18 games or when games will be played?
You got to ask his crew.
All right.
Yeah.
So Anthony, you're insinuating that all they want to do is eat crepe Suzette and watch soccer, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, that might be Chris.
Crepes sound delicious right about now.
I had some crepes yesterday. They're great.
Where'd you have them at, Ilo?
What was that?
Where?
Where's what?
Where did you have the crepes?
Oh, I had the crepes at a little cafe in Pasadena here. They were phenomenal.
Really?
You've got
Parisian crepes?
Yes, Parisian crepes. Reminiscent of...
I like the crepes.
Oh, yeah. Especially with Nutella.
You have a good palate with the Nutella.
You can eat...
like a creperia, you know that. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
My point is, though, you can eat Nutella crepes and watch American football at the same time. You don't have to watch soccer while you're eating the Nutella crepes.
Exactly. Listen, I'm a Europhile with the best of them. But, we can also be real, though, and speak about the NFL and speak about the sport. The sport is superior. Isn't that right, Ilo?
I just don't understand what the objection here is.
I don't know. Maybe it's the message.
It's not the argument for extra football. I think what the guys were trying to say, and I don't want to speak for them, is one, they don't want to see a watered down or diluted product. And two, my issue with it was just I don't want it to push into February. I already know there's going to be an 18-game regular season schedule. That's coming. You can get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the master plan for Gargano is that he wants to push it through February and basically have the Super Bowl in March. I don't want that.
Well, I think when you're talking about an 18-game regular season, one bye week and two preseason games, that's a total of 21 weeks. So you'd actually be having the Super Bowl on, like, February 12th.
Yeah.
So it's really not as bad.
Well, what I would do is I want the Super Bowl first weekend in March.
And here's
why, Ilo, is that what do you watch in February? February sucks. It's a terrible month.
It's our birthday month, and he hates it. We're separated by a day of February, and he hates it.
I love you, and I love the fact that we're born a day apart. But the month stinks. Like, it's over. Like when football's done. Remember, I live in Philadelphia. It's bleak in February. It's cold. It's dark. And it snows.
So the thing he wants to do is go outside and watch a football game.
So I want to watch football. Yes. Exactly. I want to build the fire and have soup and watch a football game.
I thought you were going to say something else besides soup, but okay.
You know. I threw the soup as a euphemism in place.
Exactly.
Oh, that's your euphemism, huh? Okay.
Correct. You get it now? I know.
Anthony, did you have something different from breakfast today? Because you're entertaining at your baseline level, but this is as much as you've amused us, like, ever.
Thank you.
With your anger and your euphemisms. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Glad I amuse you.
You do.
I'm here to make you laugh.
It's a compliment before you start turning into Joe Pesci and Goodfellas.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, right? That's where he was going. You knew it was coming.
What if I'm supposed to do a two-step here? I love you, Ilo.
Right back at you.
You are wonderful. You are a treasure. All right, Link, we got to make some picks coming up.
All right.
We got Monday night, the Raptors. You ready? 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, man. It's over, man.
You think it's over?
Oh, it's over, man. It's over. That's it, man. Game over. Game over, man.
Yes, I kind of agree with you. And what about the Blues? We got to look. Can the Blues close out in St. Louis? Boy, I love that story of the Blues.
Yeah.
And everybody's flocking. Everybody's coming to St. Louis. It's a great story. We'll tackle the big two important games. Because remember, guys, once it's over, you got nothing but sumo wrestling. Once the NHL and the NBA are done, you got baseball and basically nothing.
And how does this sound? Go seven, NBA. You got basketball until next Sunday. Game seven wouldn't be until Sunday, so a full extra week
God, I would
of basketball
love
for you.
It.
But they have to get to seven.
Eric, I would love to go seven. I'm rooting for both series to go seven. I want them all to go seven. Because, again, without that, what do we got? Like, are the Dodgers enough for you, Eric?
Me, personally, yes. I love baseball. I sit down and watch full games regularly. So, but I know 90% of the rest of the world that's not. So,
yeah, I love it too. But I also like it. Like I like it as a good side. Like it's not an appetizer.
Yeah.
It's more important than an appetizer.
A couple weeks,
like
I'll be tired of all MLB SportsCenter top tens. That's for sure.
Yeah, because that's it. And then they kill it. All right, we'll get back. We'll attack that and give you a couple picks. Coming up next, we're the Fellas, Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing and a less than perfect one. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, welcome back, fellas, from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. Lincoln Kennedy, Anthony Gargano. Link, let me ask you a question because it became a topic, and then you as a former player of African-American descent, just curious about the term owner.
Never had a problem with it.
Okay.
You own a house, you own a team, I never had a problem with it. Never even thought about it until I heard this discussion, and it's like, doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I never thought about it either until I was brought up. But, you know, the one thing I do believe, though, is that it's one thing you have to be sympathetic to what some people might find offensive, even if you don't find it offensive, you know?
Certainly. And I agree with that. I mean, it's a change in word. But I didn't, for example, I didn't have any problem with putting somebody on a disabled list.
Yeah.
Well, now it has to be injury list. I think in this world, I think there's too much attention to be politically correct. People are oversensitive. It's not offensive that, you know, he owns a team. Hey, he owned a team. And so, I own the rights to the player. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I feel you. All right, let's get a couple picks here. Let's look at the game. This is the all-important game five between the Blues and the Bruins.
Now, this has been a great series in spite of the missed calls.
Game six is tomorrow night.
Yeah. I really think this is going to go seven because each team has found a way to get the best of one another, and I'm looking forward to this. So I think the Bruins stretch it out a little bit more.
See, I do too. The Blues are a slight favorite, and Bruins are a dog. I know the Cup will be in St. Louis, all spit shine with its handler. With the white gloves.
Yep.
The Cup will be there in St. Louis. I'm gonna tell you, I'm rooting for the Blues.
You are?
I love that story.
It's a great story. I mean, you know, the team that's been able to turn themselves around. It's a great story.
It's great for St. Louis as a city.
Great
sports.
They
need it more than Boston. So true. I'm rooting for St. Louis.
Yeah, you're not losing any sleep on Boston and another championship, huh?
No. Now, you know, game five. Which, of course, the infamous trip, which led to a goal and then, you know, the whole thing. And then Boston fans started chucking bottles on the ice. And if that were Philadelphia, people would make a federal case out of it. But just saying. I will take the Bruins, too, though. As much as I want to take the Blues, I don't know. That Bruins team's good. And, good. If they can withstand – Binnington was the difference. If Binnington plays like he did – in game five, they win, but I don't know if I trust
them. Can we get a couple OTs, though? I'm down for like a double OT.
I like that.
Sure. Little nerves, little white knuckles.
Who do you like, E-Rob?
I like Boston in game six. I took Boston to win it when the brackets came out. I'm going to stick with them. It's a little different, man, playing in a game when the Cup's in the building. So we'll see if – I don't know if the Blues have the wherewithal to come through.
Mm. Yeah, I hear you. No, that's true. A lot of gumption there.
Yeah.
And it looks like here it is, Golden State Toronto Monday night. It was 2.5. It is now, according to my buddy Dale, 3.
Oh, really?
The Raps are favored by 3 for Monday night.
I don't see them letting up. I think that they want to win it. They'll definitely want to win it there in Toronto. So. I got it. I think it's over. I think the series is over. I think I never thought I would think today's Warriors would be hitting five, lost in five. But yeah, I think it's over. I'm going with the Raptors.
I agree, man. I think you're right. I could see it. I think, and here's the thing: defense doesn't lie.
Right.
Defense does that. Defense is why they won the game last night.
Yep.
They clamped down. The claw was ridiculous. But they played. They contested those shots.
They've got an answer for everything that the Golden State does. They got an answer for it.
I know, and there's no space. You know, Clay and Steph have no space,
right,
to operate, and that's the biggest thing. When Durant's on the floor, everybody's got space. Without Durant, there's no space.
Yeah. And the fact that the places that are open, they don't know how to take advantage of it because they just don't have that shot. I mean, it's got to be there's mid-range space. If they had an effective mid-range shooter, it'd be a different question. But everything is either layup or three. There's no mid-range.
No, it's true. That's a great point. All right. Well, listen, everybody have a wonderful, wonderful week. The fellas love you. We're out. Go Raps.
See ya.